feel. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself,
starting. Well, that's a commercial. Good. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thanks for doing this introduction with me.
No problem.
You want to tell everyone about your idea first for...
Oh, the new cup? Yeah. Cup version 2.0?
This is for cups or athletes who wear cups.
Well, we're watching football right now, and we're noticing a lot of these guys aren't wearing cups, which we...
Because
I think,
you can see their bulge.
Because you can see their gigantic bulges. But... I was thinking that instead of wearing, because I said I would definitely wear a cup, but in lieu of wearing a standard cup, I would have my dick and balls basically encased in a gelatin-like substance, which is flexible. So it's basically like a bigger dick holding my dick.
Like those soft casts?
Yes.
Like that kind of stuff?
Yes, but protecting both your dick and balls.
Okay.
So that even on impact, you won't feel it or it would absorb a lot of the impact. But it would be flexible and movable. So like in your pants, it would look like a real dick flopping around.
It would have to be really thick, like silicone or something.
It would
right?
be, yeah. But it would make like your thick dick look even bigger.
And more presentable.
More presentable.
I like it.
In spandex.
You know, Howard Stern, or who's the guy who runs the NFL?
Oh,
I was thinking of David Stern.
That David Stern runs the NBA. Howard Stern runs the media.
Yeah.
And Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell. NFL. Yeah, I think he's a listener of the show. So
good.
Maybe he'll get on that.
It would just protect you.
Yeah.
Better. And it would make your confidence.
Maybe give some of the white players a way to fit in.
Do you yeah, I mean, it would be relative to the size of your penis.
What's that dude's name that used to play for the Cowboys and San Francisco? Do you remember him in that book that came out?
Deion Sanders?
Was it Charles Haley?
Yeah.
Gigantic cock.
Yeah, like 17 inches or something
yeah.
like that.
It was like some monstrous. And he would beat off in front of people.
Oh,
he would. That's what he did. That's why he got traded. He would beat off in front of like whoever I think Young. And he goes, I'm thinking about your wife. And then he would come. He wouldn't just like stroke it. He would go to completion. That's what it said. Jerk off to completion.
Oh my God.
In front of the people. And they're like, dude, get this guy out of my locker room. And they tried.
Yeah, but how could you not? I mean, it's 17 inches.
I know, but he's got so many sacks.
Yeah, he's good at what he does. He's a bad, bad dude. Who'd you do this podcast with?
Kevin Christie. We talked about being a homeowner.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're a homeowner, sort of.
I am.
Condo owner. Oh no, you own a home now too.
I own a home now too as well. I have a condo and a home as well.
Yeah. Is it a nightmare for you?
Well, for me particularly, because I don't make money like a teacher or a police officer. So
it's not consistent.
So it's like jumping through extra hoops to...
Convince them?
To convince them that you're a good... Even if you're willing to put a lot of money down.
Yeah.
It's tougher now with the laws because they're looking more deeply into your past, which they should, but it's sort of like... Closing the barn doors after all the horses are already gone.
Oh, right,
it's
right,
really
right.
ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like me, I'm the good one. Do you remember when Willie Brown and Woody, remember him?
Willie Brown and Woody?
Yeah. He was the fake Willie Tyler and Lester?
Oh.
Yeah. He was the other Willie Tyler and Lester. He said he got an apartment once because he told the guy he was a comedian, and he said so he wouldn't have any like people he could like give as a reference for a job.
Oh my!
You know,
God. Yeah.
And he goes, "What kind of comedian?" He goes, "Well, I do a ventriloquist act." And the guy said, "Show me." So he had to go get his dummy from his car and come in and do the act for the guy.
Oh my God!
But the guy rented an apartment to him.
I mean, really,
he rented him an apartment.
But how many hoops must we jump
like,
through? What
on.
Type of people
You're
do you consider
take 6
us?
Months to fix my toilet? I got to do this first.
Yeah.
I called my landlord a Jew.
Really?
Yeah. It was no hot water. It wasn't filling up my fucking bath or shower. It ran for like 8 minutes. And I fucking told him. It was months and months. I'm trying to get them to fix it. They try changing they switched my heater with someone else. And they tried doing lots of different stuff.
Yeah.
They're just not putting any money into it. And they finally replaced the pipes. Like I knew they had to. And it cost $200. And I'm like, I wrote him an email. It's like for 6 months, I couldn't take a full shower.
For $200.
I was like, I thought I was a Jew. You're disgusting.
Can I say something about homeowning? The difference between your situation and something that I would incur would be that I don't know how to fix. I wouldn't know how to make my water more hot, so I would have to call someone that would cost me about $300.
Oh, yeah. That's what Kevin talked about. How you
you will find out how inept you are as a man when you buy things. When you buy a house.
And like just build a, like a second fireplace in there, and you're like, yeah.
It's not even that. Like even just doing stuff that you need, to, like a circuit breaker went out. I'm like, okay, what? How do I do that? You know, like where's that at?
Oh yeah,
you know. And then right. When you buy a house with like a pool and a pool house, and it's like this thing, your GFI switch broke. Simple things that you should be able to fix on your own.
Do you feel like a pussy?
Yeah.
Yeah. You feel like your dad's generation would have known how to do it?
Or they would have just figured it or zapped themselves to figure it out, but...
You just call
like
somebody.
Just, I'm like, I'll just call somebody.
Yeah, dude, you're Hollywood. Of course you would.
It's not that. It's just that they have a know, skill that I don't have.
I know, I'm joking.
Yeah.
I literally, the only thing I can do that my parents know how to do is like I can check my oil in my car.
You can't... check it.
Check it.
Not change
no.
it.
No, I wouldn't even know. I couldn't get under. I don't want to go to the slidey thing to get under.
Yeah.
Do you
the underneath of a car is probably... It might as well be the eighth wonder of the world because I've never seen
it's
it.
It's also disgusting. When cats are under there, it's like, ugh.
It's horrible. Yeah, Kevin's probably, you know.
What?
He's even less masculine than I am.
Well, his house was a fucking wreck. Yes, he is less masculine than you are.
Yeah. But he probably knows a lot more now, which is good.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to listen to this one.
Let me say something about our sponsors real quick. By the way, you're not getting any money for this. Just so you know, this is just an intro.
Thank you. Good night.
There's no show. Please.
Thank you. I'll be at Agora Hills.
Amazon. Yeah, sure. November 3rd. Say a date, Steve.
Agora. Fine. In lieu of getting paid.
Yes.
I will be at in Agora Hills.
Steve Renazzisi from the league.
From the league. And FX is the league.
To be Comedy Central special.
November 3rd in Agora Hills at the Canyon Club in Agora Hills. November 3rd. I don't know what time the show is, but come.
Probably 8 or 9 or 10.
Something like that. Yeah. In that world.
Yeah, Steve's hilarious. You should come out. But now let's talk about something serious, Steve.
Okay.
Like Gamefly.com.
Video games.
Do you play anymore?
Not really. But yeah, I mean, here's why I would use Gamefly. It's because I lose interest quickly, so I would just send it back and get a new game.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Well, I'm like,
a lot of money to buy those games.
I want to just like, all right, I'm done. I played it for like a week. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'll also throw myself in for like straight if I get a good story game.
Oh, okay.
And I won't see anybody for like 8, 9, 10 days.
Really?
And then I'll be done with the game, though. I'll win it.
Yeah, and then that's it.
Yeah.
And then to spend a lot of money on that one particular game is ridiculous. You should
pretty much get it. You pretty much get the whole subject. I like it. Yeah. So if you go to gamefly.com/Ari, you can get yourself a free 15-day trial. So do that, and then they give me money. They give me enough for a gram of weed.
Perfect. It's a very fair exchange.
A Valley gram of weed. Not a West Hollywood gram of weed.
What is... There's no difference.
Yeah, have you not seen the difference? Have you been to Zen? Have you been to the West Hollywood dispensaries? The cost.
The one...
The rent. The overhead is higher.
Oh, okay. So but the quality is not different.
No. There's certain ones that are top quality and certain ones that are top quality in the Valley, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rent.
Yeah, so it's just like, I'm not going to go to the Valley every time I want to get some fucking pot.
Yeah, that's true.
I go to Zen. Where do you go?
I go to here in the Valley.
What place?
I go to Daddy's Pipes.
Daddy's Pipes?
Yeah,
really?
Daddy's Care.
Did you name that after Daddy Knows Best?
No, that's the name of the
internet
place.
Series.
That's the another shameless plug. No, it's on Ventura. It's great. It's in Sherman Oaks.
Oh, okay.
They you know, it's one of those places that have pipes up top.
In front?
And then in the back is a dispensary. But it's very, they are very tight. They run a tight ship.
Have you ever played Clandestiny in Toronto?
No.
That's the same kind of thing. It's just pot room in the back.
Uh-huh.
That you can play. It's one of my favorite places to do comedy.
Oh, really?
If you go, you should go a day earlier, stay a day late. You're never going to stay a day late, but come in the day before and go play that room.
In Toronto.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so much fun. Anyway, yeah, it's like that, though. Pipe shop up front.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's nice to have that option.
You can get
you
that
buy stuff on the way out. I need
grinders
bongs
and
grinders and airtight containers and... You know, extra. What are those? What's the pipe? The part you pull out when you pull a bong hit.
The carb.
Yeah, the carb.
Yeah,
I need that.
Those
thing
good.
Gets dirty, and I don't know how to clean that.
I lost my vaporizer. The thing that sticks to the vaporizer.
The bag?
Like, no, not the bag. I don't use a bag. I use the glass stick that I got from Don Carlos.
Oh, okay.
You know the stick, the clear glass stick.
Okay. That's, yeah, I have the Volcano vaporizer.
Yeah, those are way better.
Yeah, those are amazing.
Yeah. But I'm not talking about that in my story. I'm talking about how I broke my thing. I'm done with my story anyway. I don't care anymore. You've ruined it.
I didn't.
Remember when we shot a commercial with Tiger Woods?
Yeah.
That was fun.
was a long time ago.
Ari Shaffir, by the way, my new album is coming out in
September,
a week.
September, right?
September 25th. 1 week from today, from this comes out.
Wow.
It's called Revenge for the Holocaust. It'll be on iTunes.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
You should go out and get it. No, I mean, not you, but that
people
audience.
Listening, you mean?
Yeah, the audience people.
Yeah, totally. Listen to Steve. He's won his league. All right, so let's start the show. Well, I'll be in Toronto this coming weekend at Just for Last 42. Then the week after that, the last week of September, I'll be in Indianapolis.
Crackers?
Crackers.
Tell her I said hello.
Tell Ruth Ann?
Yeah.
I will. She wants me to bring her stuff.
Great.
And then La Jolla with you.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
October 12th and 13th.
Yeah, that's going to be
good. You, me, and Simone.
Me, you, and Steve Simone.
That'll be fun.
It's really going to be... I'm going to try a new half hour, or
really?
Most of a new half hour. We'll see where I go in the lineup, but yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it should be good.
On a fucking hit television show on basic.
That's the week
cable.
It comes out, too.
Oh, the leak?
Very exciting.
Oh, that's right.
Hey, Gamefly is the only one we got to do this week?
Amazon, too. I do Amazon.
Okay.
I gave up on the other one. Oh, do you use Amazon?
I use your link when I go to Amazon.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Thanks,
I don't buy a lot of stuff from Amazon,
yeah,
per se, but when I do, I go to your link.
Now,
sometimes I go to Bill Burr's, too,
yeah,
but most times up, yeah, I go to yours.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, you go to my website, arithegreat.com, and then there's an Amazon banner
on
there.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
It's like a little cart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if you click on there, it takes you to Amazon, and then you just do your regular shopping, and they give me cash back. It's adding up.
It's good.
Yeah. The people have been doing it. It's really cool. Some people do like all their book shopping and stuff. It's cool.
We might buy a piano for a 40-inch stand-up piano.
Really?
Yeah.
What, to teach the kids piano?
Tracy wants to teach the kids piano.
Does she know how to play?
No. She wants to get someone to teach the kids
piano. Why? Why are you turning into
because
your parents?
We went to see the musical once for our anniversary.
To see
and
what?
The musical once.
So she wants the kids to be able to play?
And she fell in love with it, and now she wants the kids to play the piano.
Like Jackson's going to be shine all of a sudden?
I don't know, man. So now we found the piano we like, so
but
maybe what, I'll go
like,
through
okay,
Amazon.
But let's say he became an adult. Do you know guys that can play the piano who are adults?
Yeah. Yeah. Chris Martin.
Who?
Chris Martin from Coldplay can play the piano.
No, but not musicians. Not people who like make their living in it.
Comics. Oh, like the random guy that can just play the
like
piano?
Like which comics do you know can play piano? Bobby Lee?
Bobby Lee can play the piano.
Now, don't you think, and he can play well.
Yeah.
Don't you think that was a waste of all that time learning how to play?
Well, for Bobby, yeah. Well, not necessarily. He would have been doing drugs if he wasn't playing the piano.
He was doing drugs. He did drugs.
Well, imagine how much more time
17.
He would have to do drugs
no,
if he didn't play the piano.
That's kind of crazy reasoning.
No.
That's Obama reasoning. That's what people say. Imagine how worse it would be.
No. It would be way worse. It would be way worse.
He would be a worse drug addict if
it
not
would
for
be
the
way
piano.
Worse, and the country would be way worse.
If not for Bobby Lee knowing piano.
Yes, if Bobby Lee didn't know piano.
Maybe you're right.
All right, I'm going to go in the shower now.
Okay, you go in the shower. Okay,
I feel so. Like I've earned
we'll
my plug way. For the Canyon Club, November 3rd in Agora Hills.
And then I'm at the DC Improv. Have you been there?
No, I haven't been
that's
there yet. I want
groups.
To go there. So if I know there are people that listen to the podcast, tell the DC Improv people I want to go there.
If everyone hits them up, they'll probably listen.
Okay,
I'm there the 19th, 20th, and 21st of October. Go take a shower.
Okay, bye.
Shower boy. And then I'm in Portland, October 25th, 27th. And in Calgary, November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And Chicago with Joey Diaz, November 8th. Get tickets. They're available now, but they won't be available much longer. And then the 9th and 10th of November, I'm in New York City at the Stand for the New York Comedy Festival, where I'm doing two shows myself at 10 o'clock, and then I'm doing a live Skeptic Tank podcast at 6:15 on Saturday the 10th. All right, you guys, go to my website for all the details. Get ready for Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank number 77. All right, Steve told me. Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank number 77. A very, very, very fine house. Oh, that's what we should start with, right? That's the music we should start with. All right. Oh, I said it's with Kevin Christie, right? It's Ari Shaffir Skeptic Tank number 77. A very, very, very fine house with Mr. Kevin Christie. And by the way, Kevin does all my art for all my storytelling shows. I forgot if we talked about it. Enjoy the episode.
Life used to be so hard. Now everything is easy 'cause of you.
We're starting.
We've started.
Yeah. I still have to find a good way to enter into these.
No, I think it's good like that.
Really?
Yeah, you're just like, we've started talking.
Sometimes I just like press record.
Yeah.
Midway through, and then it's just like pick up in the middle of a word or sentence.
That sounds bad.
That sounds bad?
Well, you just hear the end of a name like Uffleupagus. They don't know you said Snuffleupagus. It's just like Uffleupagus, here we... And then it just... It's,
yeah.
It's a non sequitur.
It might be a problem, but...
Even a long word. There's long words you don't want to start in the middle of.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I like the way you started. Podcast started.
Yeah.
That's how you should say it.
I do intros later.
Yeah, you should say podcast beginning.
Okay.
Or just go podcast.
You're about to get podcasted.
Podcast.
And then just go from there.
Yeah, just go from there.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Hey, do you ever clean this place up?
Sometimes. Right now, it's a particular mess.
It would get way messier if I lived here.
Yeah. It's messy right now. I need to clean it. I'm going to clean it tomorrow, I think. I've just been really busy lately.
With what?
Lots of art.
Are you working now?
Lots of illustrations for people.
Do you get annoyed by that stuff?
Yes.
I feel bad every time I ask you to do a poster for the show.
I mean, I get annoyed by it, but I also like doing it. And you know why I do it? Because I feel like the people that come to me, especially my comedian friends,
yeah,
you would get... You wouldn't get as good of a thing from someone else because you don't know them.
Right.
You'd have a hard time explaining what you want, so you wouldn't get what you wanted. Whereas because I know the comedians, I kind of have a better way of interpreting what you want and giving you that. So I feel like if I don't do it, you'll get something shitty. Since I'm a comedian, I know how to talk to comedians about what they want.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just talk to someone you didn't know well...
Oh, you can coach them through it?
Yeah, I can explain it. Where I think someone would be less patient.
Right.
And I want comedians to have cool stuff.
I'm also doing it because I like the tradition of it. It's been like 2 years. We've had a poster by you every single time.
Yeah. I like doing those posters.
Really?
Yeah, they're
People
fun.
Have asked me, too. They're like, can I do one? I was like, man, we've got it covered.
It's my thing.
Yeah.
I do it.
It's like, yeah, people like them, too. They really like them.
I like doing them. I like doing them because they can be different style like every time. Mm-hmm. I don't have to like adhere to a style. Like a lot of times I've just like something I've always wanted to try doing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll do it. I use those posters to try it.
Storyteller show, yeah.
Yeah, like try a style I've never really done to see if I can do it.
Yeah.
Like the hooker one. I was like, I've never drawn a hooker or like a busted looking hooker.
No, but you always draw fat chicks. You're good at fat chicks, fat and naked chicks.
I'm good at making white ugly people.
Yeah.
They're real easy to make look
That's
ugly.
All you do in class is draw ugly people.
I'd like drawing ugly white people.
Man, I had all those drawings you did, the sketches you did for a while, and Allie took them all down.
Yeah.
I don't know where they are now, though. They might be gone. Or they might be on a shelf somewhere. She might have chucked them. I feel bad about it. It's partially my fault if I put them in frames instead of just taping them to the wall.
Yeah. Although it probably looks cooler just taped to the wall.
It was pretty cool. Plus, you told me some of them to crumple up.
Yeah,
for a while in a ball and sit on one of my back pocket.
My friend he did this. The drummer of the Strokes can draw really, really well.
Yeah,
unbelievably well. And he did a drawing for a book we made. And my friend, the art director, got the drawing. It was a ballpoint pen portrait, and just folded it up and kept it in his pocket for 2 months. It looked so cool.
Really?
When he took it out, like it had those sweet crease lines in it that had like turned white. And like the ink had mushed around, it just looked great.
Oh, really?
But because no one would be, anyone would be afraid to keep it in their pocket that long. But he was. He's like, no, I'm just gonna keep it in my pocket. It looked so cool.
Wow.
Like it just looked authentic and better.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like folded the poster I did for like the.
You folded one of them. You had creases.
Yeah, the heartbreak one, I think, because I made it was
I
like
think
a,
it was that it was on notebook paper.
Yeah, it was notebook paper.
With the circles even in there, for the hole punches.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, do you like me, yes or no?
Yeah.
I had a bunch of like doodles on it. That was a cool one. I like that one.
People really liked that one, even though it was so simple. That was Red Band's favorite.
Really?
Yeah, because I think it looked authentic. It looked like a real high school note or a junior high school note.
I got to get them all together and put them on like a web page or something.
Maybe. A Tumblr?
Maybe.
There's a lot of them. I didn't realize how many there have been.
A lot of... Oh, shows?
Posters, yeah.
Yeah, we've like used them twice for a couple of them, like if we do them in a different city.
Yeah, but most of them, there's new ones.
Yeah.
This is, I think it's like 15 or 20.
It's been 2 years.
Yeah.
Year in Review, that was a good one with the skeleton, with the blowing the...
Yeah, that one, I like that one. I still like the I Fought the Law one the best.
What was that? How's
it's just
that
skeleton hands in handcuffs.
In handcuffs.
That one's so simple.
Vendetta was pretty cool.
That was a good. Yeah, I like that.
It was
that
a revenge one. It was just an ant. It was a
hunter that being skewered by deer antlers.
Yeah, the deer picked him up on it and it was bleeding through.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah,
that was a good idea.
It's a good revenge one.
Yeah.
Did you go to that one?
No, I missed that one.
Piper told a story about Mr. Fuji. There was a new Asian guy in wrestling.
Right.
And Mr. Fuji was like,
no, not on my watch.
Yeah, it was like, you know, they had to protect their own fucking.
Well, think about it. The 80s were still so racist. They're like, we're not going to have two Asians on TV.
They also had like one Arab guy, the Sheik. Yeah. One Russian guy, Nikolai Volkov. You know?
Yeah, you weren't just a wrestler that happened to be Asian. You were a icon. You're like, here's a Asian. Like, you covered all Asian races by no matter which one you were. You're Chinese. Billion. You counted for every Asian.
He might have let Indian people go, but that would be about it.
Yeah.
Is that Africa? No, where's India? That's Asia.
India is East Asia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Mr. Fuji invited this guy over, this other guy.
Yeah.
And his family, and barbecued for him. Say, hey, welcome, you know, whatever. And then told him, actually what you ate was your dog. I kidnapped, killed.
Oh, dear God.
And barbecued your dog and fed it to you.
Sweet Jesus.
There's one Asian allowed in this organization.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Is Mr. Fuji dead? I hope so.
I don't know. If he is, he might be in hell.
I hope he died screaming.
Oh, you're a good dog person. I forgot about
that. What the fuck, dude?
I don't know.
That's awful.
Would you have been better if he killed the guy's daughter and served it to him?
All you have to say is there's no other Asian allowed here. The dog thing doesn't make it. That just makes it feel that makes would make me as the new Asian wrestler just want to be better than Mr. Fuji now and then kill one of his pets. You're just making another dead pet.
You made a mistake. Yeah, the guy. I don't think the guy killed Fuji's pets.
I would just be like, oh, now I have to figure out what to feed you that you love. That would you just ask. If, remember at the Comedy Store when it was you and Dennis and O'Neill almost started dick punching each other?
No, we all started dick punching each
but
other.
But before there was a time before you started doing it, you almost started before, and I said that you're going down a dangerous road.
Yeah.
Where this could never end.
Oh, that's what it was going. You said it was going to be like the Israeli Palestinian.
Yeah, peace this will conflict. Never because you'll never not want to punch someone in the dick.
You gotta get them
punch
back.
You in the dick. Yeah,
you gotta get them back.
Even if you were the first one.
Yeah.
Even when it's even,
but
you still want to hit them in the nuts.
Yeah, it's like, I don't remember the good feeling I had from punching you. All I remember is the bad feeling I had.
You just remember the pain.
Yeah.
That's what my father, we were talking about the Palestinian-Israeli problem. He says, everyone has blood in the game.
Yeah.
Every single person has a dead relative. And how are you going to tell them to not care about that anymore?
Yeah. You ever see those people who are like up for like whoever killed their father or their wife is up for parole?
Yeah.
And they come in or the daughter comes in or whatever. Or the parents and say they should never be paroled. They take their children away. And it's like, yeah, you get that. But then at the same time, it's like, no. They did their time. Your case isn't worse than every case. Not every murder has to be
But they
forever.
Didn't do their whole time. Parole is just a thing to like... parole's early. Because prisons are overcrowded.
But Manson, they never let him go, right?
No, they never let him out. He's too crazy. You have to show genuine remorse. And he never does. Every time he's up, he stopped even going. He doesn't go every time. But like just when he goes, he just starts yammering about like, he goes.
Let me get that sweet pussy.
He was in one of them. He was like, he goes, you think I'm a killer? Let me tell you something. If I was a killer, there'd be nobody left. And you were like, God, you are still fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Charismatic though.
You should get on Lexapro.
I'm pretty sure that's not strong enough.
What if he's like, whoa, oh my God, I'm so sorry for what I've done in
he's
the past.
Like, oof. Wait, let me listen to Helter Skelter again. This is an inspiring shit. This is just a good song.
Totally misread it.
Yeah, listen, I got that. Listen, I'm sorry.
What did he do? He heard Helter Skelter and he said that was telling him to kill people?
Yeah, he was inspired partially by Helter Skelter to start a race war. Oh. And he wanted to start a murder. He was going to kill those people. He wanted to get those people to kill the people he killed. He was going to blame it on black people. And that was going to start a race war, apparently.
Dude. There was a guy in Boston who did that.
Yeah.
And nearly started. Do you remember him?
No.
He, they found this guy. Wife was killed.
Mm-hmm.
He almost killed, bleeding out.
Yeah.
It was a Mexican guy.
Yeah.
Somebody, a Latino guy, had, like, held him up.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't really describe him, but he, whatever. Manhunt went on for this Latino person who shot. You know, this pregnant woman and shot the dude, too.
Right.
Dude shot himself and his wife.
Yeah, shot himself and his wife.
And then threw the gun over this bridge.
That was like in Cable Guy when Ben Stiller's like, they were Asian. They sounded Asian. Ballsy to shoot yourself, though. I mean, yeah, if you're gonna.
They said the only thing that saved him was he didn't do it quite right and fucked it up.
Oh, he shot himself poorly.
Way worse than it should have been.
Oh, wow.
So they were like, that's.
There was a performance artist that had himself shot with a gun in the 60s. Yeah, I forget his name.
In like the shoulder or something?
No, he held out his arm. And the guy was supposed to just like shoot him through the, I guess, muscle, but the guy missing like hit him in the bone. Oh. So it was way worse than it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be like a tiny bullet, like a .22, and the idea was like it would shoot through him, but he didn't. He like hit bone.
Oh.
The dude like fully had himself shot. He did this other thing too where he stood in an elevator with push pins, and when someone would get in the elevator, he'd hand him a push pin and go, stick me with it. And some people would, and other people would be like, yeah, you're right. Fucking, and they, or be afraid, like afraid.
Wow.
It was weird. It's interesting though.
Now, why, explain to me why that's performance art and not just experiments.
It is. That's just an experiment.
Okay.
But you're doing it. It's an experiment that you're doing for the sake of art, I guess.
What's the deal with performance art?
You know, I was recently talking about this. Performance art.
Do you guys respect that at all? The artist community?
It can be very powerful. It really can. Most of the time, it's garbage.
And it's not acting?
No. A lot of performance art, I always think, is just bad. Acting bad, yeah. Film bad, but there's some, okay, this woman, I wish I could think of her name, damn it, she did a thing in New York, I want to say it was at the Guggenheim, I'm probably wrong, where she basically, it was called the artist is present, I want to say, yeah. And she just sat in a room and you could come just sit across from her and stare at her, and it sounds dumb,
yeah,
but people were doing it, and it was like people would, you stare at her longer, people would just break into tears, she would start crying just from like staring at another human. And like all, there was lines around the
just
room.
To stare at her?
Just to sit in across from someone and like engage with them, make eye contact.
No talking?
No, I'm not sure if there was talking or not. But it was just occasionally performance art's really interesting and really powerful. But most of the time, it's annoying garbage. Like when I was in art school, I had to sit through some horrible shit.
Oh, yeah. Plus, it was school version
of
it. Yeah,
these were kids that weren't weren't that developed or smart yet. So,
with paintings, they had been looking at paintings their whole life.
Yeah.
Performance art, like, you don't even get to look at it. I did once
what could, I guess, technically be considered performance art.
What, your rap group?
No.
your B-boys rap group?
I was in this painting class in junior college, and everyone in the class was, like, into abstract painting, like, throwing paint around.
Yeah.
And so every time I'd do a project, they would criticize me for being too, like, tight. Like, I was trying to make things well-rendered and drawn well. Uh-huh. And so they were always encouraging me to, like, loosen up and, like, don't be so controlling. So I made a really well-rendered painting of a woman, and I made everyone else, like, destroy it. Like, I made the rest of the people in the class, like, paint on it and ruin it.
Uh-huh.
And that was what I... Because the teacher was like, you can do a painting for the final, but I encourage everyone to do a performance piece. So that was my performance piece, was letting people destroy
your piece of work.
My super tight painting, because everyone was always on my ass.
And
about,
you took a lot of work time on it?
Oh, yeah. The painting took me like 80 hours.
Did I ever tell you what my dad used to have to do in the Army?
Mm-mm.
The Israeli Army? They were in, I guess, Special Forces, but it was way back then. It was like 57 or whatever the Suez Canal was. He was in the Army for
6-year war or whatever?
It might have been 6-day war.
Yeah. 6-day.
By the way, I just read a lot of stuff that said, my friend Kurt Metzger told me that, like, Israel lost that war.
Really?
Yeah. And he goes, and everyone in Egypt knows that, and they just spun it a different way. Because they were like, you lost the Suez Canal. Egypt has it now.
Yeah.
And then people are like, no, we gave them that for peace. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. You lost it.
Why would you? It's like giving up the Panama Canal.
Yeah.
Canals are important.
Canals are important.
Really important.
Yeah, for trade and everything. But
it's tons of money makers.
They used to have to show that they could nurture things.
Mm-hmm.
They gave them all, at some point, kittens that they had to care for.
Sick and they have to kill it?
Yeah. You have to present your kitten after however many 6 weeks or whatever, and then snap his neck.
Again, I feel this is unnecessary. You could also just tell them to shoot. Like,
I
feel like Israelis don't have a big problem killing a Palestinian. You don't have to have them kill a kitten. There's not a lot of love lost.
Well, cats there, they just run feral.
I don't care. I feed cat in my front yard every day.
I think they feel like
it hisses at me. I still feed it.
Really?
Yeah, it's a sweetheart. It's just raised outside. It's not its fault.
Yeah. Well, how would you prepare someone to have to send your friend into die?
That's what boot camp's for. That's where you learn.
That's what you did.
Everyone I know who it was in, my father explained boot camp. He fought in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And he said, they teach you how to, they break you down, so you just do what you're told. They make you feel basically like you're nothing,
right.
So everyone above you can make you do whatever you want. Yeah. You have to learn how to do what you're told, good no matter soldier. What. Being a good soldier is doing what you're told no matter what.
Yeah.
But that's what you learn in boot camp. So I don't, you don't have to kill a kitten.
I don't know. People,
how do dead kittens help? I feel like...
Well, remember the Panama Canal?
Okay, granted.
When they were going for
the
that?
Israeli military is one of the finest militaries in the
and
world.
And they wouldn't follow their orders in
Are
Panama?
They still killing kittens? I doubt it.
Hopefully.
No, not hopefully.
Maybe
not.
They have a breeding plant.
Hopefully
like
not. Hopefully they are not
cats.
Killing kittens, and they are still one of the finest militaries the world's ever seen.
Hopefully not.
They are they're fending off. They're surrounded by nothing but countries that hate them.
This is in the old days when they had to really train you how to like fight somebody hand to hand.
You were a lot closer.
And you also only had like we only got 30 bullets for you.
Yeah, my dad told me there's a big difference between shooting someone 100 yards away and killing them up close.
Oh really?
Yeah. I mean because
did your dad kill people in the Vietnam?
Yeah.
Wow.
From far away, you're like 100 yards away. You can see them, but like you're just pulling a trigger.
Yeah.
You not like cut somebody's throat.
You ever see the pink mist videos?
No.
Oh, it's about snipers.
Uh-huh.
And when they kill some, it's just a pink mist goes up.
Yeah.
From the fucking shot going.
There was
their
that
head.
Helicopter footage that they found in Iraq where these dudes were just lighting up civilians. I mean, you know, they just look like bodies dots. Far away, kind of falling down.
White splotches.
But if you and I are making eye contact and
he did it both ways.
Yeah.
Your dad.
Yeah. That was a jungle war.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone was hiding. You were coming up. You were surrounding. You know, you got into it.
You must have been like, walked past a tree and then there's one of them right there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, on the other side of the tree, I didn't see him.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was there. You were, the American soldiers, you were in their territory that they knew really well.
Man,
so
I
you
was
were coming
really...
at, he told me the way you kill, he showed me a way you kill a guy when you sneak up on him from behind. You wrap your arms around his neck and then you throw your feet out backwards and fall down, snap his neck. Like, why would you have to train someone to do that unless you weren't going to get close?
Oh, yeah.
There was a part in Forrest Gump where, you know, Forrest Gump, like, gets a gun and goes into, like, a hole.
Yeah.
Like, crawls into a hole. And my dad was like, I had to do that. They put in a... You throw a grenade in one... Because the Viet Cong had all these underground things. You throw a grenade in, it went off. And then you went in there with an infrared flashlight and a handgun. And you shot anything that moved.
Wow.
And hoped that the thing didn't collapse on you.
And hopefully they weren't recovered enough to get you back.
Yeah.
If anybody
but it was
alive.
Like pitch black tunnels. You went in with an infrared flashlight and a gun.
Wow.
That was a gnarly war.
Yeah.
It went on forever.
How long did it go on for?
Fuck. Years.
Are the POWs still there?
I don't know. Well, they'd be getting into their late 60s.
Yeah, they probably haven't had the best, healthiest life.
Nah.
They're probably mostly gone.
Oh, my dad did say that Vietnam was one of the most beautiful places he's ever seen.
That's what Simone said.
He said he was like, when they were, you know, he said like, when he wasn't getting, you know, you'd look around, he's like, this place is beautiful. But he said the weather, humidity was craziness.
Oh, really?
100% humidity and 100 degrees.
Man, I never understood when you told me your dad said that divorce was worse than that, than Vietnam. I argued so long with you. Like, no way. He's just saying that for effect.
No.
You're fucking crazy. And then I just hadn't had a bad breakup yet.
Divorce would be way worse. One's a personal betrayal, and one you're being shot at by someone you didn't think loved you.
Yeah, where you're like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm in the enemy.
I'm in their land. I'm on their land. Of course they're trying to kill me.
They want me gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have this house when your dad was alive?
I bought it just before he died.
Yeah.
It hadn't fallen down yet. I hadn't started rebuilding it.
So so it completely fell. What happened? You bought this house.
I bought this house.
Yeah. For a lot of money, I'm assuming, or a decent deal. When was this in the housing bubble?
2007. It wasn't,
right,
I wasn't at the peak.
It started going down?
It had started going down. So I got an okay price. Not great.
Yeah.
But okay. It was a lot. Fucking ton of money for me.
After the first like 6-8 months of the class, people were like, better buy now before it recovers. And other people were like,
no, this is going to get really awful.
Yeah.
If I'd have waited, I would have killed it.
My friend who's an economist, Avi, says there's a couple sayings they have. And one is never try to catch a falling knife.
Hmm.
Where it's like, if the price is coming down, don't try to stop it in the middle. Just let it fall all the way.
Yeah, you wait till you see the bottom.
Yeah, and then it'll recover a little. And you'll pay a little more than you could have at the lowest point, but only a little more.
You're basically falling down trying to scrape on the walls.
Yeah.
You're not going to fix it.
The other term that I loved was dead cat bounce.
What?
Yeah, they. It's it's about a stock that plummets down to like 2 cents, yeah, then goes back up to a dollar,
and then goes back down to 2 cents.
But yeah, they said that's just a dead cat bounce. That's not the cat coming to life.
That's a great term.
Off the pavement. Yeah.
That's a great term. Mm-hmm. I bet you they have tons of them.
Probably.
I would love to hear them.
Boiler room people.
Yeah, stock guys. I bet you they have tons of sweet terms.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well, there's a two of them.
That's good.
So you bought this house for a grip.
Yeah.
how much were you stretching when you bought it?
I wasn't stretching. I actually was buying.
You know, money.
I bought beneath my means. I bought so I had a lot of money left over for. I had basically 3 or 4 years' money left over.
Oh wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, but that's before the house fell down.
So what happened?
I bought the house, and it was a very small house. So I decided to, and the driveway was humongous.
Uh-huh.
Driveway comprised more of the whole lot than the home.
Really?
Yeah, the driveway was massive. So I was kind of
wall out there before.
Yeah, it was just wasted space. So I was like, all right, I had enough money to do a small renovation. So I was going to add on to the kitchen, and then move stuff around. It was just going to add like 300 or 400 square feet.
How much does that sort of stuff cost?
Well, the kitchen add-on was budgeted for like $40,000.
Okay.
Right? But when they started, so they started doing it. And when they opened up the house, the old house was literally built of no 2x4s. There were like 10 2x4s in the whole house. It was built of like really small 1x3 pieces of wood.
How is that different or better or worse?
It's extremely weak and small. But this neighborhood's homes, a lot of used to be hunting shacks. People used to go hunt up in the hill and then come down here and like eat.
Before it was like super populated?
Yeah. My old house was 85 years old. Okay. It's a really old house. So, but I couldn't tell that the walls were thin and shitty because they were covered. It was like thin wood, then this other wood shingling, and then stucco on top of that. So it looked normal width.
Oh.
When I bought it.
Didn't an appraiser tell you?
You get an inspector, but they're not allowed to like open the walls.
Right.
You couldn't find that out unless you open the walls. So, but when they tore down the sidewall where they're going to add on the kitchen, the guy, when the contractor was like, we can't attach new house to this because it's too heavy. Your old house is too weak. So that there was an earthquake, the new house would knock the old house over.
Really?
Because it's going to be heavier than the new house.
And it'd push it.
You can't attach a 2x4 to a 1x3. It's too big.
Okay.
You know, it's like it's attaching something big to something. You know, you can't nail a big piece of wood into a small piece of wood.
Right.
So it was like, all right, we're going to tear the whole house down. Which, by the way, was a terrible day.
Okay, so they told you can't do this?
Yeah.
Weren't your options also to like...
I could have like just put that back? See... Yeah, but the house, it was basically... The house was so old, and I had the money to do it at the time. But
how much was the house?
$625,000.
That's a lot of money.
I didn't buy it cash. I got a loan.
Oh, okay.
So I just needed a down payment.
Oh, okay. That's a lot easier.
Yeah. No, very few people buy houses cash.
Yeah.
So I had, I put down a 20%. Yeah. I put down a 20% down payment and got a loan for the rest.
Okay.
But so it was, I luckily had the money to do it. I didn't have to take out another loan. But like, it went from costing $40,000 to a lot more than that. And so the money I had as a buffer for several years disappeared.
What oh really?
Yeah. Not entirely, but most of it.
So he said like, okay, we can't do this.
Yeah.
Who said you should tear the whole house down?
Those are my options. Either we seal it back up, we put this thing back on, or we rebuild this house.
It's like you have the lot. That's yours.
Yeah, you own the land. It'll cost this much, but when it's done, it'll be brand new. You'll have a new home.
And how much does the new home cost to build?
$160,000.
That's not very much.
No, it was actually... Well, here's the reason why. I got a good deal because the guy building it was only... I only hired him to do a renovation. So, and it didn't happen like on one day. It was like... The contractors do this thing where like, well, look, if we're going to do this, we might as well do this.
Yeah.
That's how they kind of do it. So he didn't plan on building a new house either. So he sort of didn't have time to hose me. It was just like we kept adding on new things. So there wasn't like a big... Even he was like, you're getting a good deal on a new house.
$160,000.
I mean, it's a small house, but like...
It's bigger than it was.
Yeah, it's bigger than it was.
So that means you're paying $500,000 for the lot?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
No, even when I bought the house, the what I paid for was almost all land. The house itself wasn't worth anything because it was tiny and old.
Oh.
It was just all land. This area's land is worth whatever.
Fuck land. Why do you want land? I guess you have
land you can build a house on.
Oh, right.
Look, I bought a house because I was just told that's what you're fucking supposed to do when you have a little bit of money. That's what you're supposed to do with your money.
Yeah.
Which is total bullshit.
And tell everyone you have to buy the house. It's this idea that we're supposed to try to grow up and get a house.
But that was before the economy went into shitter.
Yeah.
That's what we were told our whole lives. It's not the case, really.
Well, they I remember hearing this thing on NPR. I only mentioned NPR so I could brag that I listened to NPR. But
listening to All Things Considered.
It's the only radio station.
And I'm
Nichelle
Norris.
If I say I heard this song the other day,
I'm Lakshmi Singh.
Oh, yeah. They have some weird names on that.
Yep.
You know who annoys me more than anybody?
Who?
The traffic girl.
Oh, Pack-a-Snack?
What's her name?
When she said she's like, oh, this is a real pack of snacks. Like, kill yourself. Yeah. Cut your own head off.
She's so goofy and silly, but it's not she's funny any way. No.
I feel like she probably used to do more stuff, and then they've like relegated her to only doing the traffic.
Oh, really?
Because she's boring.
So boring. And it's like she's trying to do that SportsCenter thing, but all she's doing is doing it badly.
Yeah, you're not Dan Patrick.
Mm. Have you been to Canada, by the way, and watched SportsCenter?
Mm-mm.
SportsCenter? No. SportsCenter-E.
I don't remember if I watched.
R-E. And those guys don't have any good sports to cover.
That's weird because, they don't have any good sports to cover.
Yeah. I mean, they'll cover baseball during the playoffs and stuff.
Just the Grey Cup.
Yeah. They show all, like, CFL stuff. They show curling.
There were once two teams in the CFL named the Rough Riders.
Really?
Two separate teams. There were the Rough Riders and the Rough Riders. The Rough Riders would play the Rough Riders.
They should have run that by each other.
I guess.
Before the second team chose.
That's how polite Canadians are.
But their sportcasters just make only jokes.
That's cool.
They only fill in with talking ridiculous stuff. What?
Are they good jokes?
They're okay.
Canadians are funny.
Yeah, that one guy's pretty good. I don't get to know their names at all, but I probably watch more SportsCenter there than SportsCenter here.
Right. I don't watch SportsCenter anymore.
Yeah, it's just hotel room stuff, so it's like,
yeah, it's some hotel room shit.
Yeah. But I was listening to NPR, and by the way, if I ever get sidetracked or meander off, if you can remember where we were.
Okay, we're talking about housing.
Yeah. But so he said that this theory is we got to get these people back in their homes. We got to save their homes.
Right.
You know, that people are losing their money and their jobs, and they have to, like, save their homes. And this guy came in and goes, no, they never should have been homeowners.
That's true.
So they made a mistake. Let's correct it by getting them back into apartments where they can afford.
Right.
And then that'll
correct that it. Logic, when you see people, the thing like, oh, they were taken advantage of.
Yeah.
They were and they weren't.
To a degree, yeah. Different ones.
I mean, you can't give a $700,000 house to two people that make $40,000 a year.
Yeah.
It's just not realistic. But you also can't be surprised when you tell, if you tell someone, hey, you could have a house, they're going to say yes, because we were all conditioned to think that's like the best thing to ever happen to you.
And also, the people that are in charge are the ones convincing you.
Well, the banks were
homeowners.
Here's the thing.
Banks,
the banks figured out a way to make money off a loan, no matter if you paid it off or not. Right. They were credit fault swaps.
Right.
Credit default swaps.
But if your bank tells you, like, no, you can afford this, you got to be like, all right.
Yeah, we listen to the bank.
I don't know everything.
That's because they loan you the money, and they sell the loan before you've made one payment.
They sell the loan off?
Yeah, they make money off of getting rid of the loan.
Is that Shadow or is
That's Shadow from the Light.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They didn't care because they weren't making money off you paying them back. So they were giving loans to people that their whole thing was just selling loans. It didn't matter who they were selling them to.
So you sell to someone else, so how you take the interest of these people?
When I applied for a loan, you try to get pre-approved.
What does that mean?
So you go into a bank where you're going to get your loan, and they look at your finances, and you're pre-approved for a loan. So when you find a house you like...
Oh, so no matter what house you find...
You don't have to wait to see if you're going to get a loan.
Right.
You can say, like, I'm pre-approved, ready to go.
Because by then, someone else might come in and buy the house.
Yeah, in the waiting period. When I went to go get approved for a loan, they approved me for $1.5 million.
Really?
Which there's no reason in hell I should have been approved for that much.
But then you just have to start thinking about it, right? You're like, should I buy it?
Yeah. I remember my dad went with me. He's like, please, God, do not in any way take that, buy a house that is that expensive.
Because your dad's been through it and he knows.
Well, he just was like, if you have a million dollar house, if you put 20% down, that means your mortgage is you owe $800,000.
Yeah,
$800,000 would be like $6,000 a month, $5,600 a month.
Wow, when your old rent was like $1,500.
Yeah, my old rent at my old apartment was $1,300.
That's how much that Burbank place was?
Yeah. The place was bomb.
It was a sweet place.
Yeah, it was.
It was a sweet place. Those bedrooms, an office.
Yep. Yeah. Killing it. But yeah, we've been conditioned to think that you have owning a home is like a definition of success.
Pick a fence, two cars,
yeah,
and a garage.
But homes used to be inexpensive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
So, well, yeah. Relative. I mean, LA has always been more expensive.
Yeah.
But it used to be like, you know, if two people worked, you could afford a home. But I mean, I even saw the bubble coming because I thought, these homes just can't keep getting expensive.
They're shooting up.
Like, you can't have a two-bedroom house that's $1 million in a neighborhood that's not Beverly Hills.
Okay.
There aren't enough people that make 150 grand a piece in a two-person household to afford these houses.
What, so everyone started revolting and said we can't buy that? To a degree, not everyone, but a lot of people. And then that made the houses go down.
Well, people lost their jobs. And a lot of people, what they were doing was they were buying a house.
Yeah.
Then the market was so crazy, your house would go up. So you'd buy a house for $500,000 in refinance. A year. Yeah, you'd be worth $750,000. So you'd refinance and take all the money out, or you'd sell it quick. So a lot of people were using their homes as like basically a credit card.
Yeah, that's something I never understood ever. When someone's like, okay, you buy a house, it's $500,000.
Right.
It's gone up to $750,000.
Right.
So you sell it, you've made $250,000.
Right.
Now you get yourself something else.
Mm-hmm.
But the other house that you're going to buy
is that much more expensive.
It was $300,000. Now it's $500,000.
Yeah.
So you're not really.
You either have to go to a cheaper neighborhood.
Yeah.
Or
get out right before it collapses and then buy again.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there were tons of people that sold right before it burst and then just didn't buy anything new and probably crushed it.
Right, right.
Just bought houses that were so much more expensive and, you know, there were houses that were like $1.5 million. Those were the ones that really saw huge drops. Because they were so overpriced. So people were buying houses that were 1.5 for like 800 grand in LA.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember this time where it was people like, you bet. When I was thinking of getting one, like a condo or something, they're like, yeah, you got to go now.
Yeah.
Because it's only going to double in 2 years.
Yeah, everyone we know is like, dude, you buy this place for 300, sell it for 650 in a year. It's like, that's retarded.
Yeah.
That logic was just, it was casino logic. And even I could tell, like, you're telling me there are this many dentists? Like, I know how much people make. Like, to make a couple hundred grand, that there's only a handful of jobs.
Lawyers, doctors,
you know. Those are hard jobs to get. You're telling me the world's populated with that many people making that much money?
Yeah, it was crazy. The condos were like,
oh, dude.
Oh, my Lord.
I was looking at condos that were 650, 700 grand. And in my head, I was like, this doesn't make sense.
Everyone would tell me, too. It's like, look, you put a big down payment on, then you pretty much, instead of paying rent, you're just paying that same to a mortgage.
Yeah.
And then you look at the numbers, you're like, no,
if you crunch
I'm paying $1,100 in rent.
If you crunch the numbers, it only makes sense over a long period of time.
Right.
Like, I've been in this,
tripling your rent.
Yeah. No. Well, you got to take into account the tax deduction, too. The first handful of years of your loan, you're paying so much interest, and interest is all deductible off your taxes, that it's real. You get a lot of your money back. But then after a while, you stop paying that much interest, so you're just paying in the principal. You don't have as much to deduct.
Right.
So towards the end of a loan, it's not that beneficial. But at that point, if you're in a house more than 10 years, you're not going to lose money. You start to make money. And a lot of people, it's a way to – it's basically –
You own more of it. Own more.
You own more of it. And also – For people that have families, it's the only like inheritance they can really hand down.
That.
Yeah, because a lot of people, middle class and upper middle class people, it's not like they're going to have tons and tons of excess liquid income by the end of their life.
Right.
So you have a house that you bought for 300 grand that in 30 years is worth 700. And so you die and you give it to your kids, they sell it, and two kids split 400 grand.
That's what's happening with the Comedy Store right now.
Really?
Except Polly and Peter are fighting over who gets the Comedy Store, and she's not even dead.
Well, you know, I've never heard something more speculated about than what will happen when Mincy dies.
To the Comedy
Does
Store?
Does anyone know the truth on any level?
You got to think, if Polly runs it.
What's the rumor? I've always heard the rumor that like there's a clause in her will that it has to stay a comedy club.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I doubt that. And they can get that changed anyway. Plus, it comes to think, you know, when the Dodgers, when they split up, McCourts split up,
mm-hmm.
neither one of them had enough money to buy the other half out
from
the other person.
Yeah.
So they had to sell it to
Doesn't Scotty
person.
Have a lot of money?
Does what?
Doesn't Scotty have tons of money?
Scotty, he didn't get the store.
Oh.
He got, like, something else.
Hmm.
The house or something.
So Polly gets the store?
Polly and Peter.
Okay.
And I think the other ones now are angry and they want to get involved, too. But, like, I think if neither one could afford to like
buy it's worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
And the real estate, owning that lease or whatever it is worth a ton of money.
I think what Peter says is it's like more profitable as a parking lot.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
We can make more money and less employees. Just no lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
Come all the time.
You'd have to like having a comedy club to want to keep it a comedy club.
So Pauly wants to keep it as that. But then you have to have Pauly as an owner of something.
Yeah.
And he's not trained as a businessman.
No, he's a comedian.
Yeah. So unless he's smart enough and egotistical, like
he would have to want to become only the owner of the comedy store.
He'd have to get him a day manager that would run.
He'd want to not be a performer anymore.
Oh right,
which I don't think he wants.
He's so good. Okay, so this whole place fucking fell.
Yeah,
they tore it down.
One day there literally was just nothing.
How did they do it? Wrecking ball.
You know what sucks? Because I didn't know it got torn down like bit by bit, like in steps.
Yeah.
I wasted so much money on demo. Whereas literally the guy who tore it down was like, you realize if we'd have known this, I could have just tied a hook to your old house and pulled it down.
Really?
In a day. Yeah.
Why'd you do it?
Because it wasn't clear the whole time that we were it just became more clear. So over like 3 weeks, there was like
the kitchen down.
Yeah, and demoing more and more. Whereas like if I knew I was going to tear the whole thing down, you just have a backhoe, you tie a hook to the fucking house, and it was so thin you could have pulled it down.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you at least get to take like a sledgehammer to a wall or something?
Yeah, I broke. It was such a terrible time. I broke lots of stuff.
That sounds awesome.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Breaking stuff was fun. I used to break lots of stuff. I mean, I was so mad at this.
In the situation
in this house, I would constantly when they poured cement, I would always write like death and fuck everything in the cement. They're like, it's your house. You want to write something in the foundation? And I think I wrote like fuck yourselves.
Really?
I think I wrote like fuck everything. You know, 2000.
Is anyone ever gonna find that?
No, it's in the foundation.
Even though they tear the house down.
Yeah, they'd have to. No.
You should have left a cricket inside a. Inside.
There's
a
probably
case.
Tons of dead bugs in there.
Why'd you get the house?
Because that's what you're supposed to do. I don't know how to invest money. So I made some money.
You gotta stay up on it. You can't just say, all right, here's
the
money.
I made some money from the IBM thing.
Yeah.
What I would consider a lot to me.
Shitload. It was great.
It was tons. Yeah, to me, it was tons of money. And my father was like, you're not going to know what to do with this. So you're just going to whittle it away.
Yeah.
You need to put it in something to where you can't just whittle it away. Buy a house.
Invest in drugs, man.
Yeah. If I'd invested in a small weed business that I didn't have my fingerprints on, I'd be a millionaire.
Oh, well, yeah. That's what everyone thinks now. It's still no one tries to do it.
If I'd have gotten to like the pot repository, whatever thing.
Repositories?
Isn't that what they're called?
You're such a fucking straight edge.
What? Pot stores? You really call them pot stores?
You can't call them pot stores.
What do you call them? Dispensaries?
Dispensaries. Okay. Repository.
That may be the wrong word.
Oh,
That may not be like a nerdier word that I may be misusing.
Have you ever been to one?
I wish David Taylor was here to tell me I was using the word wrong. No.
Where did JFK get shot? That's a depository.
Book depository.
Yeah.
You deposit, that means you leave them?
Where do you deposit books?
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
But at that time it was like you get some, if you have enough money to buy a house, you buy a house. That way your money's safe.
Yeah.
Which it isn't, but my house, I'm not underwater. My house, I don't owe more than it's worth.
Oh, yeah. That's what happened to a lot of people. When you bought the house for $500,000, then it was worth
$100,000. Bought in neighborhoods that were just inflated.
Right.
It happened a lot in the valley. Tons of houses in the valley.
That happens, too, in like neighborhoods where, how do I say this nicely, where the blacks move in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like in Crown Heights,
mm-hmm.
all these old Jews were there.
Yeah.
And the blacks started moving in, and then, or the Latinos, too. A lot of Spanish. And then the house would go down, but the older people were like, I'll wait.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. My synagogue's here. And then it went down even more. Now now we can't sell. This house is worth 40 bucks.
Yeah.
How much of it was just because you were with a chick and you wanted to like have a place to live?
No, I was planning to buy a house before that.
Okay.
Like that wasn't a factor.
What was she saying? Pushing you towards it or just saying like whatever you want
to
do?
Well, everyone wants you to buy a house. If you can afford, that's the thing. Back then, it was like if you could afford a house, you were stupid not to because it's such a good investment.
I don't know how much scratching is going to be on the microphone if it's on your beard.
I'm not moving it.
Okay. That'd be okay then.
Yeah.
I should plug in my earphone so I could hear.
Foam.
What?
Foam mic cover.
That comes up a little bit. Oh, whatever. We'll see.
I'm just moving my mouth. It's not scraping.
Okay, try moving your mouth out, but don't talk. Yeah, you're okay.
Yeah. I would be able to hear it. I would stop doing it.
Yeah.
Putting your money in a house was somewhere safe. But also the way a lot of people got underwater because they didn't have any, that when they were giving you people loans, you didn't have to have much of a down payment. I put down a normal
zero down.
Yeah, zero down. Thing. That's the problem. So you
interest only loans
that you only, everything was loan. Every part of what you had was loan. The t-shirt's so bomb.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
It's so good. Pusshead.
Pusshead?
Pusshead's very famous skateboard artist, and he did a Metallica cover, punk covers. It goes into the pantheon of like greatest drawers of skulls.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Pusshead draws skulls as well. I mean, there's like five guys I put in like the Hall of Mount Rushmore Hall of Fame of skull drawing, and he's one of them.
Really?
Dude was a true man. He draws because he does like pointillism, like tiny dots. He makes skulls look so sweet.
What's pointillism?
Tiny dots. Like instead of shading with like using like strokes, he puts like hundreds of thousands of tiny dots.
Wow, that must take a lot longer.
Takes forever, and he was the best. Pusshead's a genius. Still alive? No, still alive. Oh. Still does stuff. He's great.
Pusshead. He only does illustrations and like those things you put on
skateboards. He does stuff for Metallica, I think, still, and just like I think it's just skateboards and music stuff.
Trust I seek, and I found in you.
Yeah, Pusshead's the bomb. Wow. But like, there's a company called Zorlac in the 80s that did Metallica skateboards when Metallica first started and was like
punk.
Super. Yeah, Pusshead did the art, and that's how one of the ways he got famous.
Oh, wow.
Pusshead's the shit.
Is there a lot of that just matching up as an artist like with something that makes you popular and then like you're good from there?
Back then there was a lot of just skaters were into that music. So like there was a skate company, I think Zorlac was, they did Black Flag skateboards.
Yeah.
So there's certain bands that fit in so perfectly with skateboarding that they, you know, all the fans skateboarded and, you know, but the guys in Minor Threat, Black Flag, they were all skaters. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you tore this house down.
Tore it down.
And then...
it took 7 months to rebuild it.
7 months?
Where I didn't live here.
How long does it normally take to build a house?
I don't know. It depends on
that. You got to build it to specs, right?
No, I had to hire an architect and an engineer and to draw the house.
Both?
Both.
What does one do? Make sure the architect, like...
No, the engineer is just in charge of, like, how tall things can be and the route, how deep you have to dig the foundations and things like
that. Does he know, the laws, the zoning laws and stuff,
too? Yeah, it's all laws, earthquake stuff.
They had... Where Bobby was living up on top of the hill at Paulie's, like, they converted that garage to, like, a two-story thing.
Yeah.
And then they came to look at it, and they're like, no, you can't have a second story here. It's completely unstable. You have to leave now.
You have to leave immediately.
And he had to move out.
Yeah. And so the engineer does that stuff, and the architect draws the shape of the house.
Okay.
All the things in the house.
And can you ask for certain things?
Yep.
Lots of stuff.
Lots of,
bay windows
or whatever. You can ask
for
anything you want. Just depends on how much money you want to spend.
Jake Johansson was building a house in Santa Monica when I talked to him once. It was 10 years ago.
Right.
And he's like my height or even taller. I think it might be 6'5".
Right.
We were just talking about it. I was like, what are the showers like?
Yeah.
And he goes, dude, it's the best.
My ceilings are slightly higher than normal.
Really?
They're just like a half foot higher, and that's like nicer, I guess. I don't know. You just get roped into this shit. There's all these weird criteria of what's considered nice to have in a house that you get convinced into getting.
That stuff, the corner stuff.
Crown molding.
That does
not affect your life in any way, shape, or form. I don't get inspired by looking at it. Like, I don't use my fireplace, but I have one. It's just this garbage. It's like being in a cult.
So you don't have corners?
It's like being in a cult where they're like, this is important. This thing, this crystal means something. Triangles are powerful. And you buy into it. It's the same thing when you're building a house. They're like, oh, you got to have this.
And
kind of flooring.
Yeah, and I'm sure like older people, like a generation before, was like, because of course you need crown molding. It's beautiful. And you're like, why? Like, because it looks
good.
Well,
also the problem is it always changes. So what's nice now in 10 years won't be, and no one will want to buy this house or unless I redo everything.
Because of the crown molding?
Styles change, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I tried to make everything look classic. But, like, you know, when I was buying a house, like, every house had to have a granite countertop and hardwood floors. Well, who knows if in 15 years people are going to think that shit's corny, and then I'll have to redo everything to sell the place.
Oh.
It's just garbage.
Yeah, but they want function over, like, form.
It's trickery. They've got you by the dick.
My theory, I'm convinced that the valley was built up during this period in the 70s or whatever, when architecture was just real, like, functional.
Yeah.
Like, it was the most important thing. So all the buildings look exactly the same.
That was not indicative of architecture in the 70s.
Oh, I don't know.
Functional architecture was popular in the 1910s and 20s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is a modernist idea.
Oh, then I don't have any idea then.
Charles and Ray Eames, 50s, 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Modernist, Eames. Like, you know, Danish modern housing is a 50s and 60s notion.
What's modern houses? What is that?
You know, those, like, really simple, like, just squares. Lots of squares. Everything's not a lot of shit, not a lot of crown molding. Everything's
Knox boxes.
Simple. Case study houses. God, you're ignorant.
Yeah, I don't really know anything about this stuff.
I think the valley, what happened in the valley in the 70s is it was like not a very high income place, so they were just letting people build whatever they want. So you have like house, apartment building, house.
Oh yeah,
which makes for a real shitty block.
Yeah, there is
because there's
stuff.
Too many damn cars because of the apartment building,
and you can't find anywhere to park.
LA is just sort of like that. There's these weird places where it's like cute house, massive, ugly, beige, stucco apartment yeah. box. And then so all the other houses on either side of it, no one wants.
Even the populations like that where you get like awesome, one block over. You're like, there's so many minorities here.
That's so racist. Let's just say poor people.
Poor people, okay. Or criminals.
Just, criminals. Let's just say criminals regardless. I mean, I grew up around pure white.
Because Jews and Indians aren't the problem.
Well, where I grew up, like... The bad neighborhood wasn't minorities. It was trashy white folk.
Really?
Yeah, it was because of meth place. So it was just a lot of
meth.
So you went like, nice house, truck on the lawn, truck on the lawn, nice house, no more nice houses. Like dirt bikes, you know, jet skis.
Yeah.
I had a teacher that said you can define a person by how many water sports apparatus they own. The more water sports things track. And until the boat gets huge. Until the boat becomes a yacht, you're trash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything between jet ski and yacht is a personal indictment
so you can sleep
of one's
on it.
Taste.
Yeah. Jet skis really are a poor person's like...
Well, I was thinking about it. Like, you know how like people live in a harbor?
Uh-huh.
Like in Long Beach? It's like, that's just a fucking mobile home on water.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like you're sailing the seven seas. Like, you just live in a tiny boat in a marina.
Yeah.
That's just some fucking... That's just a mobile home park, homie.
I dreamed of doing that once. Having a home... Like, a home boat.
A houseboat.
Houseboat, yeah. So I could just, like, take it out away from everybody.
A lot of houseboats don't move.
Really?
Yeah, they stick there. They're not made to move.
You gotta pay docking fees, too.
Yeah, you live in a mobile home.
Wait, you can't take the boats out?
No, there are some houseboats that they're not boats. They're just on a water. They're technically on water.
Oh, those are like full houses on like a raft, pretty much.
Yeah. I don't get that's it's bizarre. I mean, those are people that just want to live on the water.
Yeah, those don't even look like yachts. They look like houses.
They look like a house. In Seattle, there's a big community. In Sleepless in Seattle, he lives in one of those.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a big, beautiful house that's on water.
Remember that movie with Bruce Willis where he played a cop, but then he got downgraded to harbor cop?
Is that Die Hard?
No.
Oh, I remember him having I remember the mustache. I don't remember the movie.
Yeah, and there was some dude who was his partner that he killed.
Right.
He wasn't really dead.
Yeah.
And he came
back.
This
could be any Bruce Willis movie.
Yeah. He was able to find this killer. Because
again,
was,
you're not getting any more specific.
He was because the killer was dumping a...
again, you still haven't gotten... By the way, I've been more specific by just saying he had a mustache. That leads us closer to the movie because that could be the one that just came out. Moonrise Kingdom. Moonlight Kingdom or this movie.
Because
I remember the preview on a boat. He had a hat and a mustache. But this, like, partner got murdered and he has to avenge and there was drugs. Like, that could be anything.
Could be, yeah.
That is every action movie.
The partner committed suicide. Fake suicide.
Again, you're not helping.
So this guy, Bruce Willis, this guy dumped a carpet with a body into the harbor.
Right.
Bruce Willis was out.
Right.
Even though he's supposed to be on the easy street now. And he followed him in his boat along the freeway.
Right.
Chasing this guy.
Yeah.
Bruce in the harbor.
Completely unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because like, if you're in the car,
just
the first side street, you go three blocks, Bruce Willis has to park his boat, he has to drop anchor, climb up the little rocky thing, and then chase you? You could beat him by foot.
He has acted in 92 things.
You know, Samuel Jackson's been in like 30,000 movies. I think he has the record. It's him and Michael Caine.
Him and what? Michael Caine?
Michael Caine. They just have been in tons and tons and tons of films.
Fifth Element, The Jackal,
Fifth Element was good.
Oh, yeah. Fifth Element's really good.
Fucking good movie, man. Multipass.
12 Monkeys? Fuck.
Multipass. Chris Tucker was great in Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah. That's where I started to notice Chris Tucker.
Yeah. It's green.
Pulp Fiction? Jesus.
He was so good. Let's just for a minute. Pulp Fiction holds up so well.
Pulp Fiction's a great movie.
You watch Pulp Fiction tomorrow, it's still great. That movie was bomb. So good. I'll stick my dick in it.
It really was good. I was studying that movie for class.
You're obsessed with that movie.
Yeah, well, only because of that. But I told my teacher we had to do an American director. We study them, and preferably one of the people that we were studying, Scorsese, Kubrick, and not Penn, not Altman. I don't know, there's somebody else. Spielberg? No.
Zemeckis.
North. Who did JFK? Oliver North.
Oliver Stone.
Yeah. So I was doing Pulp Fiction. Goes, okay, you can do it, but you got to watch it like at least 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, I guess so.
Yeah.
And I watched it over and over again. And then I started seeing stuff that's hidden in there.
Yeah.
Like, once you've watched it enough.
You even get you don't hate the French girl that much.
Yeah. She's okay after a while.
Yeah, you're like, I get that you love her. She's cute.
Yeah. Oh, I could totally see it. Now I can totally see it. Then she was annoying. Now
yeah,
I can totally
like,
see it.
I hate you, but you're like, you're so cute.
I'm sorry I left the watch.
You didn't have blueberry pancakes, so I had to get regular pancakes. And why are you yelling at me?
But yeah, when you see you lose the watch, you're like, kill that girl.
Yeah.
Oh, so annoying.
The one I noticed was at some point they were mopping off brain matter off the back seat of the car after Travolta accidentally shot that guy from Matt TV.
Yeah.
And I noticed that, too, the casting. It's like, you know, this guy's on Matt TV right now. You know him as a funny person, so nobody's going to mourn his death.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. But he goes, he's talking to Samuel L. Jackson, and Samuel L. Jackson's making fun of him.
Right.
And he goes, dude, I'm like a race car ready to fucking go off right now.
Yeah.
And then I was like, huh. And then I started rewatching, and every time Travolta's character comes into that movie, there's some version of race car around.
All his analogies are car analogies?
No, not all the analogies, but like when he calls the guy he bought drugs for, saying Uma Thurman's OD'd, he needs to come. The guy's just sitting there eating
cereal
wearing a Speed Racer shirt.
Right.
So he's sort of giving away, like, Travolta's about to come.
Oh, so he uses it as like a bellwether or harbinger.
Sort of, yeah.
Wow.
And then the scene where Bruce Willis gets into the... where he goes into his house looking for the watch. He's like, I got the watch back.
Right.
And he's walking like nobody's there. You know, he opens the door slowly. Nobody's there. And he's like, okay. And he walks along. And on this bookshelf, he shows from his waist down, there's a fucking toy model car.
Wow.
On the bookshelf. And he's pretty much saying, like, if you're willing to examine this movie,
that's John Travolta's that's like the sign that John Travolta's about to show up.
So Bruce Willis, like, you're gonna have
to. And he's got that Malibu that he talks about with Stoltz.
Oh yeah,
Eric Stoltz told me to never fix my teeth.
Eric Stoltz told me what?
Never fix my teeth.
Told you that?
Yeah, he directed something else and he made me promise to never fix my teeth.
Your teeth are horrible. Why?
I know. He said in 20 years all actors are going to have the same teeth and I'll be the only one left with weird teeth. But I'm going to fix them.
Are you?
Yeah.
When?
Soon.
You're fucking 35.
Yeah, but I didn't get a job recently because they said my teeth were too distracting.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me see them.
You know what it is? And I asked my friend...
Who looks like a little kid.
Yeah, that's the problem. I'm too old.
Circular.
When you think of an adult male, you don't think of messed up teeth. No. You think of a normal man as normal teeth.
How are my teeth?
Your teeth are good. You have great teeth.
Thanks. Braces.
I'm going to spend money to get my teeth to look braces. Like yours. My friend got a retainer, and it just like pushes them. You don't wear it's not like braces that you wear all the time. You put in a retainer.
God, I hope you get a mouthpiece that you can walk around in. I'm going to punch you so hard.
Why would I ever wear a mouthpiece to a comedy club?
You should go on stage with a mouthpiece.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
I would. You know what I would do? If I get the retainers, I'd like to walk on stage and take them out before I tell jokes.
I loved retainers.
Yeah.
I used to take one, put it one that I had. I put it in my hand behind my back.
Right.
And I go out to people like, pick a hand. And they pick. And if nothing was in there, they'd be like, nope, wrong. But if they picked the hand with the retainer, I'd be like, Yep, I threw it to them. They would know what it was.
And
they
catch
it.
Gross retainer.
And I go, ooh!
Yeah. My first crush I can remember is my friend Scott Cohen's sister, Wendy Cohen.
Jew.
And she had retainers, and I just thought it was the cutest thing in the world.
Really?
I was 10.
You were smitten by anything
she
would
was
do.
12, and she was so cute, and she had retainers. So I always said, until I was like a teenager, I thought retainers made girls hot.
What's she doing now? She's probably 37.
I don't know. Wendy Cohen, man. She was so cute. She was so nice to me. She knew I had a crush on her and like was nice to me about it. Like she'd be like, hi,
she let
Kevin.
You down easy?
Well, I never like tried anything. I just looked at her a lot. I was a coward then like I am now.
You think she's on Facebook?
Probably.
I'm going to pause this for a second. I want to look her up.
She's married. She has a different last name, which I don't know.
Oh.
Sorry.
It's okay.
But yeah, are you into the fact that I had a crush on a Jew?
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
I like it.
Cool.
It was Striking Distance. That's the movie. 1993. Coming from a police family, Tom Hardy ends up fighting his uncle after the murder.
His name's Tom Hardy, like the actor. From Batman.
Oh, yeah, you're right. After the murder of his father, Tom believes the killer is another cop and goes on the record with his allegations. Demoted then to river duty, the killer taunts Tom.
Sounds like a town full of dirty cops, like Copland, yeah. Starring Sylvester Stallone. Copland was an excellent film.
5.6 stars. That seems high. That seems real high.
You ever seen Copland?
Yeah, it was good.
Good. He's good in it.
He Who's the guy from
Rocky? De Niro,
Rocky?
Man.
Wasn't Rocky in it?
Stallone. Stallone and De Niro.
Yeah, he
Copland.
Gained all his weight because he was supposed to be like this small town cop.
It reminded you that he, you know,
was
Rocky,
an actual good actor.
Yeah, that he, even De Niro was talking about that, like how the two of them got famous like at the same time.
Travolta and De Niro?
Yeah, and how they, no, Stallone. Oh, yeah. You said Travolta. And how they both kind of took different paths. Whereas De Niro went like art and Stallone went blockbuster. But, uh-huh. You know, he was a legitimately good actor.
Rocky, the first Rocky was like a good movie.
Son of a bitch won Academy Award, motherfucker. Rocky's good.
Did you ever hear what the original ending was to Rocky?
No.
This is what Stallone wanted.
You want to die?
No. He wanted to throw the last fight to Apollo Creed.
Wow.
Because Apollo needed the money or something. And so he was going to be a nice guy and throw it for him. And he was going to get paid for it.
Yeah.
And then everybody in Hollywood was like, hey, we love it. You can't not win the last fight. You got to win the last fight.
Yeah.
It's just, it's man overcoming. That's
you know
what
though?
Is.
Those movies were so, those movies grabbed dudes by the ball so hard, they would have liked it.
Maybe.
You know what it might have created? A new sense of like what doing the right thing is, like being a winner isn't always necessarily, because people
like those gritty movies at the time.
By
movies.
That point, men were so obsessed with Rocky. Yeah. If Rocky had done that to like do a solid for his friend, it may have changed male perception of what is being a winner.
Oh yeah, maybe.
I wish it would have done
we're all
been that way.
Oriented.
Yeah, we're all about being on top, whereas that's not necessarily winning all the time.
This is what I find my friends do when they get road ragey or when they get anything, whatever. They just want to prove somebody wrong, fight on Twitter or something like that.
Right.
They want to show them that they're right and argue. And it's like, what are you arguing for? You're never going to win.
That's the thing. I was talking to somebody who got, like, someone replied to them with something shitty. And I was like, it's because you have over a certain number of followers. The one time I replied to somebody, after I did it, they were like, I got Kevin G. Christie to reply to my thing I shit on him. It was like, oh, that's all you wanted.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so I just, I don't care what you say to me. If it's super lame, I block you. Yeah. Or I just don't, I don't.
Just let it go.
I don't see you, homie.
Yeah, exactly. Just ignore them completely.
Yeah, just like, yeah, come on, man.
To me, I just see it as like, you
it's
know, like.
Super transparent.
Wild animals that you're just like, oh, let's walk around. Like, you know, when there's a barking dog on the fence, like, let's walk around.
And also,
you don't be like, hey, dog, I didn't do anything to you. You have to stop, like, barking.
Yeah. And,
try to reason with
it. It's also, it speaks to, like, a weakness in my personality to where I could let that bother me.
Oh, yeah.
It's like when you're doing stand-up, and if one person isn't laughing, you fixate on that one person as opposed to the 100 people that are.
Yeah. But the thing is, too, it's like, that comes from, like, a winner mentality. Like, I have to, this contest mentality where I have to win. I have to beat people.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to respond to them to prove that you're right, but you're never gonna.
You're never gonna win.
I don't think anyone has ever experienced some of those whatever those things.
They're gnats. They're little flying. You can't fist fight a swarm of gnats.
But I've never seen anyone have the respond to the guy and have the guy go, "Oh, I never thought of it that way." All right.
I blocked a dude once because he just kept being annoying.
Yeah.
And he kept kind of saying, as I blocked him, or no, he this is what happened. A guy shit on me, so I retweeted him.
Yeah.
He was like, Kevin Christie sucks, so I retweeted him. And then I guess lots of people, like, shit on him.
Shit on him.
And I blocked him, and then, it, like, an hour later, he was like, I guess I do miss his jokes. He is pretty good. And I was like, okay, I guess I won. But then it was just like, this sucked.
Yeah.
The whole thing, it was like the emptiest victory in the world. Like it was an internet victory.
Yeah, they're not very good.
Internet victories don't exist. They're in the air.
Yeah, it's just imagined, huh?
Yeah. Does the internet exist? Prove it.
That's why where it's the is worst it? When all those people are like, I fucked your mom. And it's like, what are you talking about? This is not an insult here. You live in Iowa. You
if my mom got laid, she'd tell me.
Yeah.
I mean, she wouldn't say I got fucked, but she'd be like, look, I met someone. You don't even know where my mom lives. You don't know Judith Christie. There's Judith. No way you know Judith.
You're good on Twitter, by the way.
Thank you. I try really hard.
Sit there and write jokes all day long, huh?
No, I can't. I can't like sit down and force one. I just try to pay attention, look for things to make jokes about.
Yeah.
But I really like it. I really like Twitter.
Kevin G. Christie.
Kevin G. Christie at Kevin G. Christie.
Christy.
But I really like it. It's fun. It's the only like if I'm not doing stand up, I can get validation. Something. At 1 a.m.
Something to do. You know what my friend Kurt Metzger does?
Hmm.
Facebook rants. like he doesn't have enough space for 140 characters on Twitter.
Yeah,
but he just writes these long things on Facebook.
In let one, it out, man.
Yeah, and then people respond. He responds to them in the comments.
Open a dialogue. And yeah. I've gotten
he gets material that way.
I've gotten 5 good jokes. The best joke I have right now came from a tweet.
In your act.
Yeah, my closer right now came from a tweet.
That's good.
Yeah, it's a and I also think it's a good place to lay claim to an idea. So if someone's like, oh, you stole that, I'm like, no, I tweeted it a year and a half ago.
All right. Yeah, that is nice.
It's just a record.
Nobody's really worried about who's stealing from who.
Yeah, I don't know.
Stuff.
Although tonight at the show we just did, Allie told me that there was people in back like with notebooks. And it made me remind me.
Allie?
The girl I'm seeing.
She in the show?
Yeah.
Oh.
But so there was people with notebooks, and I was like, oh, they're stealing jokes, but maybe I don't know what they're doing, taking notes.
I had my... I had a notebook out at the comedy store, and the rule always there.
Yeah, you
can't. We were door guys, like, you cannot let people record or write anything down. And then Eleanor walked by, and she made a joke. She's like, I'm stealing jokes. And it was like, if I wanted to steal a joke, I would put my phone on record,
yeah,
which is right next to my notebook.
Yeah, if you think about it.
It'd be a way easier way
technology
to get this done.
Technology has really helped the thief.
Yeah. I'm just sitting in the back writing and like enjoying people's acts.
Yeah.
It's not... Anyway, yeah, it really has helped the thief.
Mm-hmm.
I recorded a Freddie Soto set once just because I wanted to study it later.
Right.
I talked to somebody about this. I was so worried I was going to get caught and blackballed because they would have been like, yeah, sure, you're just taking it to study it.
All that shit. It's like, guys, relax.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Some of it is.
It's like, you're blackballed. What is it, the 30s?
Yeah.
Is there a list? McCarthy?
There's no blackball.
We're fucking comedians. Comedy is being taken so seriously right
sometimes
now. Guys, can we all relax?
All the rape joke stuff and the
comedy is being too discussed right now. It's being you know what I'm worried about? I'm worried it's becoming like art, to where like contemporary art is so overly criticized and discussed, it's turned into this abstraction to where it's not fun anymore.
It seems like the only art anymore is about other art.
Yeah. And how much comedy do you see that's about other comedy?
Some.
People discussing these kind of what kind of tropes are comedy and discussing types of comedy.
Tropes?
Just come on, all right.
I don't know.
You graduated a good
maybe.
College.
TRAUPE?
I believe so. I'm a good speller. But like, comedy's being, I think it's being cool. Overly analyzed. Just go laugh or not.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
There's a famous quote by Jackson Pollock. They're like, what do your paintings mean? He uses splatter paintings. And he goes, do you look at a garden full of flowers and ask it what it means? Do you just look at it and fucking enjoy it?
Oh, yeah.
Don't critique comedy unless you like it.
I always see those nerds that used to write about the alternative comics on like a special thing or something like that. And the way they would write up like a Sarah Silverman said, or anybody that they revered.
Yeah.
Where it was like going into the criticism, it was in their heads, you could tell it's like, this person does no wrong.
Yeah.
So let me write up based on that.
That's
and it was
fine.
Like, and it was like, and she used this word, which is the only word possible to use.
Yeah.
It's just perking out the picking out the perfect term.
Whereas, like, if Sarah Silverman read that critique, she'd laugh out loud.
She'd be like, no, I just thought of that tagline, like, on the way there.
Yeah, there was a documentary about John Lennon, and some weirdo hops his wall, and has, like, been sleeping in his yard, which is huge, so he didn't notice. Yeah. They bring the guy in and give him some food, because they're hippies. Yeah. And the guy's like, when you wrote this, did you mean this? He goes, no, because I was just joking. I was, like, a joke about Yoko. It's like, I was taking, at one point, he's like, yeah, I was on the toilet.
Really?
Yeah.
It's, and everyone, like, wants to,
everyone
implied,
relax.
Deep meaning.
Stop writing, stop overly analyzing stuff. Just go enjoy it, man. You're taking the fun out of something that's fun.
That's what movies should be, too. Where it's like, is there going
to
be blow-ups?
I got asked once to write reviews of art shows. Like, a magazine was like, do you want to write? I said, I'll do it, but I'll only write about stuff I like.
And just leave the rest out.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. No, I was like, they were like, pick a show in LA that you like, and I was like, I'll pick shows in LA that I like and write about them and why I like them. But like, I mean, is there, how negative is shit gonna get before it's? But it, the reason it is because you don't have to be held accountable to hating something. But if you say something's great and it turns out someone sucks, it's like, oh, you thought that was great and you were wrong.
The thing is with negative reviews too, it's like almost like the only review shouldn't analyze the comic. It's just be like, nah, it wasn't that good,
or like didn't
people
like
weren't
it.
Really laughing. Or people were laughing, and your opinion shouldn't matter at all. So they shouldn't say it was too dirty for me or too political for me. They should just say people were laughing, and it's very political comedy.
Also, not mentioning someone's much more powerful than saying they're bad. Because when I see someone say they're bad, I think, okay, why doesn't that person like? Like, I read a review of a show at Montreal this year.
Yeah.
And it reviewed five comics that said they were good, and then one comic that they were like, but this person wasn't good.
Yeah.
And if you didn't mention that person
out,
was
like,
there,
oh.
They'd be like, I was there.
What show?
It was like D'Elia.
Yeah, the show. Oh.
It was just a normal show. It was D'Elia, Brennan, Neil Brennan, and some other people, and like Moshe or something. And it said all those people were good, and then one comic it said they didn't like. I don't want to say who it is. But I felt like if you just left that person out.
Yeah.
But when I see, it makes me think like, oh, you didn't like that person. I want to figure out why. Was it because they were attractive? Was it because you didn't like their physical comedy and you liked it? It makes me think, okay, this is just a taste thing. You obviously either have your axe to grind with that person.
But like food critics, they can have taste too, right? Yeah. They're allowed to like, but no, but they could take like Ratatouille or whatever it is you're cooking.
It's all subjective.
They can like, this is a better version or
worse
version.
Do you know how delicious I used to find KFC's honey barbecue wings? So good. Now, if a food critic ate that, they'd be like, this is swill.
Yeah.
Are they right compared to who?
Sort
it's
of.
Relative.
Yeah.
Chef Boyardee's good. Some of its beefaroni tastes good.
Yeah, but I've had bad pizza lately a bunch, and it's like, oh, this is bad.
Yeah.
Like that $1 pizza in New York.
Yeah.
It's like the cheese is a block. It's not really even like, it doesn't
There are some
melty.
Things that are bad. I had a teacher once, and it was like a sound class at school. And he was playing Mozart for us. He goes, does anyone not like Mozart? And no one raised their hand. He goes, yeah, because it's kind of impossible.
Mm-hmm.
There are some forms of art that are undeniably good, like the Beatles, Chris Rock, you know, Brian Regan, like where it's like, this is funny or this is obviously good. Mozart is good.
Right.
There's some, it's like the Sistine Chapel is good. The David is good. You know, like, Guernica is a good painting. Like, if you say it's bad, like, you're totally wrong. But there
but I guess
are,
you're allowed your opinion, too.
Yeah, but it's uninformed.
I've started not liking Bob Marley.
Okay.
Because I'm like, it's just played out now.
That's not an issue of it being good or bad.
Right.
That's
I listened
just,
to it for 25
you
years.
You over-listened to it.
Yeah.
But there's some, I mean, it's like if someone was homeschooled.
Yeah.
And they were homeschooled poorly and thought the world was flat. But they believed it. They're wrong.
Right.
Just because I think there's too much premium put on someone being honest. You can be honest and wrong. If you think a fact is a fact, but you have the fact wrong, you're being honest. You're just wrong.
Right. That's why the best people, best liars, are those people who like sort of lie to themselves.
Yeah, you're uninformed.
And then they just tell the truth.
You convince
to whoever.
Themselves.
Yeah.
But an uninformed opinion isn't valid.
I had somebody write me up at the Nasty Show in Montreal the first time I went. Uh-huh. It was from Chortle. Is that the English?
Yeah, Chortle.
The English comedy magazine. Didn't like me. They loved Mike Wilmot, who performs for half the year in England.
Right.
They probably already knew. Slayton, I don't know whatever they said about him. They didn't like me.
Right.
I loved my sets there. I had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was a little painful, but it was like, whatever. People are allowed to tell their opinion. I'm the guy they don't know. It's okay. Yeah. But it sort of sucked. And then 2 years later, I did a nasty show again. Got written up again negatively by Chortle.
Right.
And I was like, motherfucker, these guys can't. And then I looked, and it was just the same author. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That's just one dude who doesn't like my act.
Dude.
That's okay. It's like totally dude. Fine.
Well, also, if you think about the span of someone's career,
mm-hmm.
think about the level of negative things that have been written about. Pick a comedian you love. I guarantee you Chris Rock's gotten negative criticisms, mm-hmm. okay? You know, like, oh, Bigger and Blacker wasn't as good as Bring the Pain. Well, by the end of his career, no one's going to remember
yeah.
any of those criticisms or the critic. Because at the end, it'll just be like, oh, look, a legend.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, yeah, critics criticized him, but he pushed through it. No one's going to give a shit.
Yeah. I heard this thing on some radio station. I believe it might have been NPR. That it was that chick who wrote Juno.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying, they were talking about movie critics, and she used to be one.
Oh, really? I didn't yeah. know that. Diablo Cody.
Diablo Cody, yeah.
I really liked Juno, by the way. This is some agile writing.
Yeah, I liked it, and then I heard a couple people say how terrible it was, and they made me like, it's one of those where they point out the flaws. You're like, yeah, I didn't notice that, but yeah, I guess you're right.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was very, the writing was energetic. Yeah. I liked it a lot. And it was way overhyped by the time I saw it.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Pulling Dynamite got like that.
I love Allison Janney also.
She's the mom?
Stepmom, yeah.
But she was like, sometimes I gave negative reviews only because I had given out too many positive reviews the last few times.
Absolutely.
So I felt like I had to.
Yep. You don't want to look like a cheerleader.
And then it's like, right. And if you're reviewing a whole show, you can't say it's all good.
Well, so like, you know how many reviews are contingent on the business that the thing does with it? Like, okay, if Chortle has sponsored by whatever, they're not going to give a negative. Okay, I just worked with Neil on Attack of the Show. And if you wanted to make, there's a term, want to make fun of something that's called like PI something, which means like it's product integrated. PI, product integration. So you can't make fun of a thing because they advertise in the show. Because they're not going to advertise in your show if you fucking shit on it.
You should be allowed to leave that out though and not say nice things about them. Remember that Bruno thing?
No.
Borat? Maybe it was Borat. No, it was Bruno. It was in the old HBO show, the Ali G show. And he had all these like, fashion critics on. Yeah. It's like, now tell me what you think about Paris Hilton's
say
dress.
Something very political. Yeah.
And then they were like, it's horrible. She doesn't know how to dress. She's just terrible. It's just tacky or whatever. And he goes, oh, no. I'm so sorry. I can't do the Bruno accent. But like, he goes, I'm so, she's actually, Hilton is one of our biggest sponsors.
Yeah.
So, and they're like, oh, okay. So let me do it again. And he goes, so what do you think of Paris Hilton's dress?
Yeah.
Like, it's lovely. She's always got style. I'm like, you motherfuckers.
Look, it's business, man.
You're selling out just like that.
Look, it's all, that's the thing. It's all a business. Just, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Criticism is a business.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's their job.
I don't like when critics try to put themselves, inject themselves into the criticism. It's like, well, you're not even writing about the thing. You're writing about you enjoying the thing.
Yeah, that's all you need to know. Ugh. There's a great quote from David Lee Roth.
Do you know it?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
And they said, like, why do you think critics like hate you so much and like Elvis Costello so much? And he goes, because all the critics look like Elvis Costello. I've always thought the reason I think magazine writers and newspaper writers like alternative comics so much more is they're writerly.
Yeah.
So they think if I was a comedian, I would be like that.
Yeah, they get reviewed a lot better.
So they're, you know, it's like if you love wordplay, well, you love Dimitri Martin. I think Dimitri's super funny, but he's very writerly.
Yeah.
So that's your taste. Whereas like, I think Brian Regan's a genius.
Yeah.
It's very performance heavy. His act outs are super, you know, it's very active and physical.
Oh, yeah. Those alternative comics way more place an emphasis on writing over performance.
But also, Brian Regan's a very good writer.
Mm-hmm.
But you watch him and you maybe think, oh, he mugs so hard. It's like, but I think that guy makes me laugh so hard I can't stand it.
With his performance, you don't even notice his writing. It's great, but you don't notice it.
But if you go back and listen to it, I can regurgitate his jokes to people, and I'm not performing it like him. They still laugh at the joke because he's a great joke writer.
Yeah.
But it's you like the stuff you think you would like. Like, you like Radiohead because if I wanted to start a band, I'd like it to be like Radiohead.
Right.
That's what you like, something you think you'd want to be or want to do. So you got to, when you hear someone like or hate something, you got to, like, Google image them.
They should have food critics for like KFC, McDonald's, and Burger King.
I bet you they do.
I'll tell you if the Big Mac is better than the McChicken.
Let me tell you something. The McDonald's cheeseburger is delicious.
Yeah, but
Dip it in hot mustard sauce?
I was eating it once.
I don't eat meat anymore, but.
Really?
Yeah.
You stopped eating meat?
I'm trying. I eat fish a little bit, but I'm trying to stop.
Can you still suck my dick?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not eating your dick, I'm just sucking it.
Oh, no, I like it done a specific way.
Do you literally lock it off your body?
I like it eaten off,
yeah. So I have to put it back on?
I also have... Remember, you ever see Heroes? Remember the cheerleader? Mine kind of goes back.
I was in Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
Did an episode of Heroes. Maybe you could...
I stopped watching... No, I didn't stop watching. I saw you in it.
Yeah.
At some point, you had to stop watching that show. It was so good for a year, and then
I never watched it, but everyone said, like, the first year was genius. Year two was a shit show.
It was so bad.
I was in year three. So I got a check for that the other day for $3.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's get back to it for a second. So you have to live in a house for 7 months.
I lived in my ex-fiance's mom's apartment.
Ex-fiance's mom's apartment?
Which wasn't that bad. Her mom was mellow, and what was going on at the house was such torture. It was nice to not be here.
Oh.
Yeah. But it was, yeah. I mean, dude, it was torture. Here's the thing about the
people. It must have not been cool to live with your girlfriend's mom.
Okay, it was not cool, but it was a bad situation all around.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the thing you have to understand about the people you hire to build your house, they're all ex-cons.
Really?
Like, all the white dudes that's the one job you can get when you have a felony record is work construction. Also, the dude I hired to build my house was from my hometown, La Crescenta. I didn't know him. He was older than me. But he hired dudes from La Crescenta. There were two guys who worked in my house that I went to high school with.
Whoa.
It was so awkward. My electrician I went to high school with, but I knew him. He's a good dude. But they were, like, dudes that showed up that I, like... didn't like that were like shit bags.
Uh-huh.
They were building my home. It was so awful.
Oh man,
it's like just trashy dudes.
And you're like,
I don't live there. I on purpose. I got away from you people. Oh,
I don't live in La Crescenta on purpose.
Yeah.
So wait, the criminals are just like you don't want them touching. They don't have any stuff here, right?
No, but still. And by the way, you get lied to every day. You get lied to literally every day.
What do you mean? Like in terms of what the progress is?
This is going to cost this. It's going to take this long. It always costs more, and it takes longer.
Yeah, what's the deal? How do they quote people prices and then not follow that quote at all? Or say it's going to be 6 months and 100,000?
It's just one of those things like, oh, that's the way it is. My windows were 2 months late,
yeah.
Which cost me an extra in just waiting and being behind schedule cost me an extra $10,000.
What?
They were 2 months late.
To come?
To show up.
These windows?
Mm-hmm.
Where did they have to show up from?
From Glendale. The place that built them was shitty, and they didn't have... They were doing this thing where they were using the money they were getting from other jobs to pay for old jobs. They were just behind. They were just shitty business.
Oh.
So they were 2 months late, which is crazy.
And so you can't say to these people, like... well, the windows you needed, I guess. But the people that are saying, oh, it's going to be longer. Say, well, if you take longer, I'm not paying you anymore.
Well, problem is you get so... ingrained with these people. So right. Like the guy who was in charge, after a month or two, he was the guy in charge. So he knew everything. So if I fired him, I'd have to find a new guy that I trusted, which would be hard, and he'd be starting all over, basically. So I'd be put behind a month or
two. Can you just say, though, it's like, you can cough into the mic. Can you just say, like, I'm not paying that?
You can.
Or he would say, well, then I'm not going to go on.
I mean, you get multiple bids and stuff. He was more like in charge. He wasn't like, it wasn't like I was paying him for everything. He helped me find people to hire.
So they take a bid. You take a bid.
Three bids. You always get an expensive one, a really cheap one, and one in the middle. You take the one in the middle.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the cheap one's going to do the shitty. And
cheap one, you're like, why is that so cheap?
Yeah.
The expensive one is the most expensive one. You take the one in the middle. It's awful, dude. I mean, literally every day, every week was like another $5,000 I didn't plan on spending.
Really?
Yeah, it was awful.
Man.
It was the most one of the most stressful things I've
another
ever been
$5,000 you didn't plan
it
on spending?
It always went up. Just kept going up and up and up and up.
How did they get away with that, though? It's just, I can't understand
You're
it.
Fucked. I had nowhere to live. I mean, literally, it was like, it gets to the point where you're just like, Just finish as fast as possible. I'll give you more money. Just please hurry.
But there's no, like, you don't go to a restaurant and order the food and then it comes.
But you can leave that restaurant immediately and go to another one. I couldn't be like, well, I'll just get this other house. You're so fucked on a financial level that they know it. They have you by the balls. So they're just like, well, look, it's going to be $700 more than I thought. And you're like, why? And they're like, and they give you these fucking reasons, and I'm ignorant. I don't know anything about building, so I don't know why. I just believe him because I have no choice. It's the same thing when you go to a mechanic.
Mechanics,
I don't know
like
enough
that.
About cars.
Gossip used to have that great joke about where they just lie, say everything. It's like, well, we need to put a diamond hose in there.
Yeah.
And a new flux capacitor.
Yeah, the flanking's broken. You need a new flanker. But yeah, you're fucked.
They could tell you need a new floor mat. If you didn't know, they could say these floor mats are worn out and they're getting really dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, I would say no to stuff just because I was like, I'm done. Like, I don't have rain gutters. Oh, no, no. I don't have the sprinkler system because it was one of the last things. The yard was the last thing I did. And the guy was like, well, I'll put in sprinkler for this. It would cost $3,000. I was like, no. Like, I'm done. I'm done giving anyone money. Get away from me.
Really?
If it wasn't a necessity, I would just, towards the end, I was just like, no, no, no.
Yeah.
I fired people towards the end. I was so fired fed who? Up. Just guys I thought sucked. If they were like, I fired a Finnish carpenter. I was like, he's done. Get him out of here. Because he was like whiny. If I asked him a question, he'd get it like pissed. And I was like, you're done. Get out. Get him out of here.
I'm not hiring you. I don't want that.
I was like, he's not coming back. You got all pissed. He went to my high school.
Really?
Fucking guy, yeah. I didn't recognize him because he was bald and fat now. But he went to my high school and he was like just a fucking little, he was a little bitch. He was, his job was to put in, like, to make the windows look done. It was called a Finnish carpenter. It was just to put things, like, it's hard
what
to describe.
Mean, look done? Just look worn?
Put the windows, like, put the crown molding on the bottom of the windows. Oh. See the thing on the bottom?
Yeah.
His job was to put that in and make it look finished. And he was slow. And if you asked him, like, I wasn't even like, hey, hurry up. I was like, so when do you think he'd get all pissed? And I was like, all right, you're fired.
And I'm sure in his mind, he's like, this guy keeps bugging me for no reason to. But
he is a
reality
moron.
Is like, regardless of what you think, the guy who's hiring you is
he also asked me to draw him a tattoo of like a woman with huge tits that he was going to get on his leg. Yeah. It was like, can you do a portrait of my girlfriend? She's got like huge tits. And he's just a moron.
Did you do it?
No.
It's good.
I fired him.
So you fired him.
I fired him. I fired another guy. So just, they were just late. They were just slow.
You tell the foreman to tell him?
I told my contractor. I was like, he's done and he's done. Get him out of here. Because I was just paying. I'm paying these people.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
How long did they say it would take and how long did it take? It took 7 months. How long
did it take? It took 7 months. It should have taken five.
Five?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot longer.
Especially 2 months.
Something. Especially, what if you're moving from another city?
Well, like, a lot of people, I was lucky that I could stay at that apartment.
Mom's, yeah.
A lot of people rent an apartment.
Oh, and so they have to keep going.
So you're talking $2,000 a month on top of that? So like, oh, it's going to be an extra 2 months. Okay, that's $4,000.
Wow. Yeah, you're right.
And you're paying I was paying these guys by the day, so I'd be handing a check to a guy at the end of the day that I thought sucked. Like, I would be here all day. I would be here most of the time. So I'd watch a guy not work hard, and then I'd be like, all right, here's $300 or whatever I was paying him. So I'd be like, that guy's fired.
I had to do this in Calgary,
mm-hmm.
At this place we were performing with Rogan. Mm-hmm. We did two big, like, 1,700-seat shows, like, in a row on a Friday night. And I was like, maybe I'll bring merch up there.
Yeah.
It's not my show, but it's the people who know me. And it's like, I don't know, I'll bring 50 shirts. Nothing crazy. But, you know, it was 3,500 people. I can get rid of 50 shirts and 100 grinders.
Mm-hmm.
And so the club, the venue was like, yeah, we can do it, but we need to take 20%. And you're like, oh, okay. That seems like a lot.
Seems excessive for doing
that. And then when I get there, like, oh, yeah, and we're going to hire someone to sit there for you. So it's $18 an hour. And you're like, what? What's the 20% go to then? But they were like, all right, it's still the fucking deal. And then when they're closing out, they're like, all right, $18 an hour for the first 2 hours, $27 an hour for the next two. I'm like, why? Yeah. Like, time and a half or overtime. I'm like, what's overtime at 3 hours?
Yeah.
But then it's like, I guess I have to pay you. And I would look at her, and I'd have these sheets saying, like, sign up, put your email down, and I'll send you something or whatever.
Right.
And she would never, like, just flip the sheet back over where it says or put the grinders towards the front.
Yeah.
I was like, I'd, like, stare at her and push them forward. And I'm like, can you do something?
Just shitty.
I get to
like,
pay them.
I was it was explained to me because my friend asked me to do King's Leon t-shirt illustration.
Oh, yeah.
And I was
Did
like,
you
what
do that cover?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do I get paid?
Yeah.
And he was like, barely anything. And I was like, excuse me? These are huge rock stars. They sell tons of. He's like, you don't understand. They don't make. They like the venues take a huge chunk.
Oh, really?
That's why, you know, concert t-shirts are $40.
Because they have to price them higher?
They pay like half. Like, you give half to the venue.
Really?
Yeah. So I ended up, I literally was like, don't pay me. I'll just do it for free to be like, because the money was like kind of insulting.
Oh, really?
I was just like, I don't want it. I'll do it to just do it for something fun to do. But yeah, it's just, they just fuck you.
Man, that sucks.
When I had a table at Comic-Con once for our books, and you get there and they're like, well, it's a union.
Broken wrist.
Yeah. So? They were like, it's a union hall. So you got to, and you can't, you're not allowed to have your own dolly. You can't have a dolly unless you're union, so you have to pay a guy to take your books. I was like, what? So I bought a skateboard, and just put the books on a skateboard and move them to the table myself.
Oh, because you couldn't use a dolly?
Yeah, you had to be like, well, you had to pay a guy $300 to, they weighed what you had and then they took it to your table. I was like, this is bullshit. I went and bought a skateboard stacked them on the skateboard. It took me forever, but I was like, this is bullshit.
This is the reason the UFC's not in New York yet.
Really?
It's because the union stuff. They don't want to do union stuff.
Unions, you know, like, I'm very pro union.
But not when they abuse it.
But you can see that it can get excessive.
Yeah.
But they're the last thing that protects human beings against corporations. If you had no unions, it would be like the 1800s where kids...
You have to be able to strike if you want to.
Yeah, kids are, you know, licking lead, working in factories.
Yeah.
You know what you have in unions? If you have no unions, you have Chinese labor.
That chick is suing the Comedy Store, the old waitress.
Really?
Yeah.
Which Andrea? One? Oh, the one who sold cookies?
Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, she's just mad because they got food there and she couldn't sell cookies anymore. And I was like, yeah, she's saying that's what everybody does. They get fired. Then it's like they want to sue. And someone's like, what are they suing for? And she's like, oh, she didn't get a break for 12 years. And you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She'll totally win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally, it's an actual business. She's not a comic.
Yeah. They'll have to give her $50,000.
It's whatever it's going to be.
Yeah. Although, why didn't she ask for a break in your...
I think she did. And they were just like, you don't get them. Or when they used to pay us less than minimum wage.
Oh. You know? Yeah, you have to give them breaks.
Yeah, 25.
Well, was it a less than 8-hour shift? That's the way a lot of people get around giving breaks.
Oh, really? Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. 8, 3, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
6-hour shifts.
You can get around that.
I
never got breaks when I was a busboy.
Really?
Mm-mm. Less than 8-hour shift.
Fuck the man.
They're trying to pick you.
So then you finish this thing. 7 months. It's
right.
Done.
Right.
Moving back in.
Moved in.
With your fiance at the time?
Yep.
Yeah. And then everything's great.
Yeah, I mean, fine. The problem with this place is I know how much every inch costs.
Oh.
So when I look at it, it's hard for me to enjoy it.
Weird.
So I just look, it's like, people are like, that's a nice fireplace. I'm like, yeah, $9,000.
Why'd you put the fireplace in?
Because it's supposedly something people like. And they passed a law that you couldn't have wood burning fireplaces. But since my old house had one,
yeah,
I was allowed to build a new one, which apparently is so super appealing to fucking people to buy houses, so I did it.
Wood burning.
I guess it's one of those things people like, so I did it.
My first apartment, we had a gas burning fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. It's just hard to, and plus, what, like, I've had this place 5 years, and I have to, like, redo some stuff. Because it just, what? You wear it out.
Like what?
Okay, the doors in the back, the French doors on the back of the living room. Well, the sun hits them so hard they've warped.
They warp.
So I need to get new doors.
All the time?
No. I should have gotten fiberglass ones, but I didn't know any better, so I bought wood ones. So someone should have told me that.
Someone should have told you. So they warped,
so I got to get new doors, $1,800.
$1,800 for doors?
Then I have the alarm system company come and drill into the doors and put the sensors in.
I thought like $350 for doors.
No, because they're French doors with glass in them.
What's French doors? What does that mean?
The two doors that open together, you know?
That open together?
You like can open both out.
Oh, right.
It's bullshit. They got you by the nuts.
If you could do it over again, would you change
What do you things? Mean?
Change you live in your place in Burbank.
Yeah.
Dayton, Laura.
Uh-huh.
You got all this IBM money.
Right.
It's back to 1991 or whatever you were.
It's 2006.
That's such a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you want to buy the house again now? Like, you're just suddenly transported back.
I would not do it.
You would not?
I would stick to my original plan. I would have bought a very cheap condo.
I'm sorry, I got distracted. I.
What's on the mic? Is it a hair?
I like breathed out of my nose and a little bug came out.
It happens.
It was like a, it's like a wet, gooey one.
Oh, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I would go back and stick to my regular plan, which was to buy an inexpensive condo and have lots of buffer money.
Right.
So I wouldn't be stressed out.
Yeah, I think to some degree, it's like, why do you need a house? Just so you can move into it.
Yeah.
It's like, why do you need more room?
I mean, okay, the one thing I love about having a home is I have a yard and I have two dogs. And I love that.
The dogs part is pretty great.
Because I love them and they like the yard and it's nice.
What do you do when you go on the road?
David Taylor takes care of them.
I go on the road too much.
You go on the road a lot to have a dog.
To be
really hard. Unless you had like someone who would be so easy to drop it off with, who like had a dog, they got along. But David Taylor, you know, that's where I got Cub, my dog.
Yeah.
So Cub knows him, so it's just easier.
Oh, right.
But this last time, he couldn't stay here because he was taking care of the slut's dog.
And they don't get along?
They don't get along, and so it was harder. He came back and forth, but it can be difficult.
Yeah.
I need to find, like, a better sitter situation. Because, like, you know, if he's not available, I'm screwed.
When's this one going to move in?
I don't know. She lives in Santa Barbara.
Oh. How's that going?
Good. She's awesome.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. This is the first one after Laura?
No, I did a couple other girls, but this is the only one I actually really liked.
Okay, nice. This is the first one you did it with?
Come on, man. I'm trying not to be a degenerate. Let's keep it gentlemanly. This is about housing. We're talking about owning a home.
Meander.
Can we talk about Bruce Willis again?
Yeah, let's go back to Bruce Willis. You feel like an adult at all, though?
Okay. You know what I noticed? As soon as I became single,
yeah,
having the house was thing. Well, because I only had this house living with somebody, so it didn't really feel like my accomplishment. I was like sharing it.
It would seem like you built a house for Laura.
Well, I didn't have a choice to build the house, but like, you know, she was here.
Right.
But like once she moved out, I was like, oh man, I have a house. That felt cool.
Oh, wow.
Like I felt like I owned a home. You know, I remembered like, you know, I bought this house pretty young for a person. Like I was able to afford a house before most people can. Yeah. So that I was like kind of proud of that. It's probably one of the bigger accomplishments I have. And that was like, you know, not a lot of people, especially comedians or people that act, have houses. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, like it felt adult and like an accomplished thing, I guess.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's my home. I've been able to keep it.
Yeah, your parents did that. They owned homes.
Adults own homes.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it didn't lose value at all, really, when the market crashed.
Oh, really? How do you know?
I had it appraised. It's worth more than when I bought it for.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's good. Are you going to stay here or are you going to move?
I'll stay.
For just whatever. For
I put so much into it when I was building it. I need to stay for a little while longer.
That's what Madrigal said when he bought a house before the crash, too, and it was going down.
He's got to stay in there for 10 years.
He was like, yeah, it's not going to matter because I'm going to be here for
I mean,
forever.
I've been at 5 years now. But I'll be at 10 years soon.
Yeah.
But I like it more now. Just because it feels more like my accomplishment.
Do you walk around naked in here?
No. I'm not a big walking around naked guy.
Underwear?
Yeah. From the, you know, yeah.
Did you before?
Yeah.
You did that too?
Yeah.
With Laura around? Man, I'd be worried about walking around in my underwear with girls around. Not worried, but like, seems gross.
Look, I mean, I felt gross all the time anyways. It wasn't going to get grosser.
Oh, yeah. So you wouldn't do it. You buy a condo.
I think so. I mean, just because having lots of extra money would be easier.
Yeah, it makes it easier on you.
Or would have waited till the market really went into the shitter. But I don't know if I would have saw that coming.
I've saved up some money, and I had this thought the other day. It's like maybe I should have spent more and taken vacations and stuff instead of scrimping and saving every penny and fucking trying to.
Are you really a guy? Here's let me say this about vacations. Our lives are a vacation.
Well, there's that too.
We lead a ridiculous lifestyle. We get to go to different cities and do. I was just in Green Bay to be in a commercial. Like our lives are pretty fun. The thing we do for work is fun. Like, what are we vacationing for?
Yeah, I definitely don't have weekdays or weekends anymore.
Yeah,
it's all just days.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah, you're right. Our lives are a vacation.
Work like 80 days a year.
But there's things people do. I see those young door guys and stuff, and they spend like almost more than me. And it's like, what, you guys need to save your money.
Yeah.
You're broke.
Being able to, I've never been, well, okay, 2 years ago I was the closest to broke I've ever been.
Yeah.
In a long time. And I was freaked out. But like, I've never, it's much more interesting. I'd rather be not even near broke than like I don't what oh, yeah. I have been to Paris. I don't give a shit.
Right, but that's what I thought too. It's like I could have taken this vacation, but one, if I did a little worse at any point, then I would have just been out of Hollywood.
Yeah,
I would have had to get a job.
Yeah,
and then not audition.
You have those years where it's like it can get rough, and you're like, is this the tap out year?
I borrowed money from you once
because
that's when Bobby owed me all that money. When
oh yeah,
and when and so
what did you borrow? How much did you borrow from me?
1,000.
Okay.
You told me to give it to a charity. After when you pay it back, I don't figure I won't say which one, but like, yeah.
Did you give it to a charity?
No, oh, no, I know to a specific one.
Yeah, you gave it to.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. God, I was making a lot of money then to give away.
Then. I was like, you sure?
I'm glad I did.
Sometimes things feel right.
It's hard for me to feel good about myself, so things like that. I'm like, you know what? I told Ari to give money to a charity and he did it.
Yeah. But, that's when I was the closest to, like, I'm not going to be able to pay rent much longer.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have gotten the money from Bobby. I eventually
That's the
did.
One thing. Okay, having still, a house, I will months. Say this. If I went broke,
yeah,
I could sell this house and I'd suddenly have a significant amount of money because the house is worth more than what I paid for it.
And then you can get an apartment.
Dude, I could buy a condo.
Oh, right. The thing with condos is HOAs, those housing, I don't know what they stand
for. Yeah, HOA dues. We just find one that's not a lot.
Yeah, but I find them anywhere from like $200 to like $750.
Yeah, that's some New York shit. Well, if you live in New York, you have a building fee.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So you live...
That's different than rent?
Yeah. You know, New York building fees average a grand.
A grand?
Yeah.
But I know people that rent for like $1,800.
Yeah, and then they have a building fee. Not everyone has them, but they're common.
That's for like doorman stuff?
Doorman. If a building's big, there's a lot of maintenance shit.
Yeah, but that's your rent goes to maintenance.
Look, New York is a different animal. To live there.
Can we please get an apartment together in New York?
No.
You don't like it there.
I don't love New York that much.
I want to be bi-coastal.
I get why people like it. Yeah, bi-coastal.
I want to live there half the year.
There's got to be tons of people that are willing to do that with you. Don't you know a comic at your level that could afford that?
Yeah, but here's the situation,
though. Spot in Brooklyn.
We can't have like a one-bedroom apartment somewhere, because what if we both go?
Scissor, rock, paper, couch it. Are you really concerned with like bringing
couch?
Back?
I like that.
Rock, paper, couch.
And decide who goes there if we're both there at the same time.
Also, splitting a New York apartment, it's not like it's a grand. You're talking about an $1,800 shit box. So $900
a month.
They're
not as bad as you'll make
them out. $900 a month.
That's about right.
For something you would use six times a year, ten times a year.
Office.
Your office is not $900.
I use it way more than that.
How much does your office cost?
$500.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I just had one at $350, but it was getting too loud. I wasn't getting any work done.
Loud? Why?
Because the ceiling didn't go up. It goes up to like as high as...
Oh, it was like a common
and then
thing, yeah.
Over...
Where's your office?
Now?
Yeah.
Hollywood and La Brea.
Oh, that's the location.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You know what? The problem is I think of office space in terms of artist studios.
Studio.
And artist studios are just these empty, weird rooms with no outlets that you can get for $200.
But then you're with other artists too, right?
No, you can get... If you're willing to go to a bad neighborhood, artist studios are always in bad
Yeah, that's the thing too. It's like, I'm not going that far away from where I live. I'm not driving 30 minutes to get to my office.
Yeah, it needs to be close.
Yeah. I need to have as very little pulling me away from going into writing as possible.
I live close enough... Los Feliz is close enough to areas that aren't cool where I could get a studio cheap. But I also have the garage.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
That's the thing. Like, I have a garage. I can use it as
a studio.
That's
nice. But to me, I was thinking of getting one of my apartments that are, like, empty
in
my building.
It's too close to distraction land.
You can go home. You can still access your internet.
Yeah, I go back inside.
Yeah.
I would get more work done if I had a studio.
Yeah. That's what I realized. It was just time to invest back into this product.
Yeah, I kind of want to... I've sold some art this year and made money off making art. I might just take all that money and get a studio.
That's
just
what I'm thinking about New York.
Just for a year.
Take merch money and do that.
Yeah. If you can afford it, do it. You're doing well now, dude. But you know what's in it? You know what I like? Is we used to talk about you quitting for so long.
Yeah.
You were really like... I really like that you're doing better
I wasn't
now.
Getting anywhere.
You weren't. It's that fucking... Is it just me or did it all come from that nasty show? That's where it started.
Getting better?
That's where people first noticed you.
Yeah, that's why I tell people now, like Yusuf was like, I might get into Montreal, but it won't be new faces, it'll be unrepresented.
Just go there.
And I'm like, dude, just go.
Yeah.
Because honestly, people will go to those new faces shows and to look.
It seems to be it's all the same level. You're just there.
But really, it's who you're hanging out with at the bar afterwards.
Yeah.
And then that's all the people. So even if you're not even in the festival, just fucking go hang out.
Yeah, I've been noticing a lot of people have been doing that more, just going.
Favorman did it last year. Yeah. I put him on my storytelling show because I knew we had a good one. It was all fuck stories.
Mm-hmm.
And not this past year, the year before.
Right.
And he just hung out and had a good time.
Yeah.
It was great.
Did it do anything for him?
I don't know. But he had a great time doing the show.
But yeah, I mean, I really like that you're making a living doing comedy. It's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty rad. I'm almost done with commercials.
Yeah,
I don't have time.
Well, also, the money's bad.
Money's not bad. The money's really good.
Not the way
it
was.
You get a commercial that runs, it's 10 grand.
Yeah, but those are rare.
Yeah.
I mean, the one I just did, I think, could be okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's nice for insurance, too. I'm not going to make insurance next year. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
But you're creating a following and a brand. Mm-hmm. People like you, man.
Hey, did I tell you this? They're thinking of doing this is not happening show, the storytelling show for like Comedy Central Digital.
Yeah.
Online.
Yeah.
But I was asking if there's a way to like incorporate that artwork into it too. And they were like, yeah, maybe. I was like, it's cool art. Like, let's make it a cool thing.
I can't wait to get no money for that.
Oh, yeah.
Viacom loves to pay you not.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
I'll get the most insulting courtesy payment for this.
Well, this is what I said to him because I was like, okay, listen, I know you're not going to be able to afford to pay people even almost as much as the actual network pays.
Right.
Which is also not enough to get like a Bill Burr or someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, you have to promote the fuck out of them.
Put it on blast. I mean, you know what? You know what a lot of comedians would take almost as payment is just like Twitter shit.
No, that's what I mean. I said, okay, so let's say you have Bill Burr or Mark Maron or whoever's doing this, Bobcat Goldthwait, whoever it is doing this story, or you. So you have
put
a story.
Put a clip of my stand-up on your website.
And then right underneath
take
it.
Take my posters, homie.
You have your Twitter.
Yeah.
You have your website.
Yeah.
You have other things they've been in, your podcast.
I guarantee
just
they,
links to it.
They will not do that.
Why not? Why wouldn't they promote their product?
Because they're not making enough money off it to care. They make so much more money off promoting Tosh or whatever makes the money.
But it's not promotion. All they have to do is, as it airs, just show the other places you can find the people. Oh. Online, when it's there.
It's a lot of work.
Everything else. It's a little bit of work, and it lasts forever.
Yeah. I mean, look, I hope that happens.
Yeah.
I worked real hard on those posters, sort of.
Some I like to say some of them more than others. Some of them like, oh, you'd rush this one out.
Yeah. I mean, every once in a while, I don't come up with a good idea.
You got to get inspired, I guess, right?
Well, you know what? Celebrity stories, I didn't work super hard on, but I did like the idea. It was simple. I just like cocaine lettering.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, but what am I going to put around it? Like, I was like, what's another thing that says celebrity? Like, I don't know, man. Sunglasses? That
sunglasses,
just seems
sort of. Yeah.
It didn't seem to help. But then the simple ones tend to sometimes be all people's favorites. That love one with the note that Red Band loves.
Yeah.
And my favorite's the simple skeleton one. Yeah. It's always weird to me which ones people like the most.
That's how I feel about these podcasts.
Yeah.
When people are like...
people love Tiana's.
Tiana's, yeah.
Yeah.
After you're done with them.
I'm trying to think of which poster legitimately sucks. The coming out stories one's pretty shitty.
Coming out, yeah.
That one sucked.
That was probably our worst show, too. We threw it together like late, and it was like, I didn't really have a coming out of the closet story.
Right.
I just told the story about coming out in terms of my atheism to my parents.
Huh.
But it wasn't.
Well, that is weird that you still hosted it.
It's like my show. What am I going to do? Like,
show,
I,
yeah.
I could just do jokes or something or just talk, yeah. But like.
That poster sucked.
What was the coming out?
It was a centaur.
Yeah, that did not suck.
You didn't like that? You didn't like that one,
dude? It was a centaur, but with a the top half was like a village people guy,
like a leather guy.
Yeah,
I thought,
and he's coming out of
a
closet.
I think the idea was good. It wasn't executed well enough. I should have spent a lot of time on it. That was one of those things where I got behind, or the lineup kept changing. So I did. Oh, yeah. I had to really only had a night. Like, there's this artist named Tom of Finland who's a genius. He's dead. But he used to draw the most salacious gay porn you've ever seen.
Really?
But the drawings are beautiful. The drawings are... And also, it's pretty punk rock. He was doing this shit in the 60s.
Wow.
Like, the filthiest gay porn. It's amazing.
But really,
it should have been like that. Like, I should have really gone there and made the guy really ripped and given him a sick bulge, given the horse a huge cock. Like, really done it.
This is how I feel about... like Saturday Night Live sketches, when someone tells me the idea, you're like, oh, that was a good idea. I like that.
Yeah.
And then you see it, and you're like, oh, this wasn't done well. The idea's good. They didn't do it right.
Yeah, like, I look back at some of those ideas, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
That deserved a little more effort, or just time.
Yeah, I think those feelings of...
But his
like
nipples
that,
came out good.
Oh, that's good.
Remember his nipples came out sort of...
I don't remember that.
...intense looking.
Those feelings are the ones that get you to be better the next time.
Yeah.
Feelings of regret when you there, sit
well,
there and
my,
see it.
My friend used to always tell me there's like a moment when you could technically be done with the drawing or the painting, and it's like, spend 3 more hours.
Right.
It'll come out remarkably better. Yeah. You'll be way happier. There's a moment to where I'm done. Like, I was making a birthday present on the plane back for my friend.
Yeah.
It was just like this, I made like a lettering sign thing where it just says, you're not fooling anyone.
Yeah.
And I could have stopped, but I was like, just keep going. You have 2 hours left on this flight.
Nothing else to do. Yeah.
And just keep drawing. Ryan Gosling's in the same aisle. Maybe he'll stand up and look at it and think you're cool. He really was.
Somebody told me about that tweet where you wrote.
I live tweeted it. People were excited. Oh, my God,
Ryan Gosling's on my plane. This is not a drill.
Repeat, this is not a drill.
And you put no homo, yes homo.
I said he's super dreamy in person. No homo / yes homo. He's a good looking man.
Did you talk to him?
No, I left
him. The only celebrity I've ever seen on a plane was some dude from ER.
George Clooney?
No, one of the later years.
Goose? People.
No, one of the later years people. Okay.
Like, Noel Wiley.
Way
Juliana Margulies.
No, these are all early. Those are all first year
was
people.
Was it a man?
It was a man, a bald guy. And we started talking about Coke Zero, and it was great until the lady next to me was like, you're from ER, huh?
Here's the thing about Coke Zero. Yeah, right. What took them so long?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's fucking delicious. Where was the formula?
Yeah.
If you'd have done that instead of New Coke in the 80s, we wouldn't be making fun of New Coke still.
You know, I still have some classic, not classic Coke, but original Coke.
Oh, really?
I had three bottles left. Okay. I drank two of them. So flat. So flat. These long bottles with caps on them. It was really kind of disgusting, but I drank it.
Yeah. Ryan Gosling's the Coke Zero of celebrities.
He's the Coke Zero of celebrities.
Like, thank God you're here.
Which one's Ryan Gosling?
He's in The Notebook. There was a great hashtag on Twitter about Ryan Gosling that Neil Brennan started called, it was hashtag Ryan Gosling's an angel. And it was just people writing made up things about him being like great Norris and nice. Thing. But they weren't, what I loved about it was none of it was negative. Oh. Like I wrote one that was like, Ryan Gosling gave birth to himself because his mom had jury duty that day. Like they were just these ridiculous things. Like Ryan Gosling encouraged Sapphire to write Push. That's what the Precious was based on.
Push.
But honestly,
I met her. I met Precious.
Did you? Yeah. Oh yeah, so the picture. He seemed like a legitimately nice person. He was like
from his beautiful face.
He helped a lady like put her bag up, called people ma'am and sir. It was like, you're nice. And by the way, that guy's a humongous movie star.
Uh-huh.
He is about as famous as you can get.
Is he in the one with that chick from Superbad? She was in it with like the guy from The Office.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. He is women freak out over him.
I like that preview. The girl was like, is your body even real?
Yeah.
It's like, what
and
the
not
fuck?
For nothing, he came from the Mickey Mouse Club.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. This kid's overcome a lot. Like, no one wants to see the kid from the Mickey Mouse Club, but he obviously is very good.
That's why your theory that you had this, where, like, unless you're already a name by 30, you'll never be a movie star.
Very hard.
Yeah. And those Mickey Mouse Club people, they already have the credits going in.
It's hard to... Well, maybe, you know, Bradley Cooper's a movie star. He wasn't a star by 30. He's a little older than that. It's much easier for men, but it's very difficult.
Yeah.
Well, also, you have a track record of when they look back and they're like, okay, Tobey Maguire has shown up and done a good job for a very long time.
Yeah, so we can trust him.
When he starts in his teens, it's like, okay, you were good in The Ice Storm. You were good in this. You were good in that. You showed up and did a good job over and over and over again, repeatedly. So we know you'll show up. You're not a risk.
Yeah. My acting teacher told me that. They said, as soon as you start shooting a movie, they are in fear of you walking away because they'll just have lost all that money.
It is in the millions.
Yeah.
But they'll sue you, first of all, but you could really screw them.
Yeah.
But these people have track records. It's like, okay, the Mickey Mouse Club kids knew how to show up to work and do their job when they were 8. I'm pretty sure they'll show up and do their job now.
Yeah.
Whereas you're just hoping this dude's going to show up and do a good job?
You're just hoping he'll get it done?
There's too much money involved.
Yeah, man, that guy didn't do shit much.
Well, he's been very selective. He's made interesting films, Gosling. He's in Lars and the Real Girl.
Oh, really? No, I was talking about Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
He was in 46 episodes of Alias.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
2001, when he was...
He's got to be close to 40, though.
When he was 26.
Oh, yeah.
He's been out a longer than me. He's 37.
Yeah. I mean, say what you want. Like, I've been doing it a long time. So when you look, like, oh, Kevin's shown up and done his job a lot.
Kevin's what?
I've shown up and...
Oh, yeah.
Been to work a lot.
At some point.
Joey Diaz told me that once. He pointed out, he's like, you keep doing what you're doing your little ERs, doing your little this, because you're going to have credits.
Yeah, you do a lot of guest spots on things.
Yeah.
It's really bread and your butter. Well, that commercials, I guess.
It's more guest starring now.
Yeah.
Because guest starring, you also get residuals.
That seems like real acting, too.
It's Well, you got to show up and do it right in the audition.
Right.
Got to really show up and do it because they're not, you're not, they don't have any reason to give you the job. I'm not famous.
Right, right.
I'm
right.
not, they get nothing out of hiring me except if I do what they want.
But then you actually have like scenes and you get to like,
yeah, there's like three scenes. You got to show, you basically have to show them everything you're going to do in the episode.
What do you mean?
You, they, more often than not, when you go audition for a guest star, it's all your scenes.
All of them.
Yeah, like okay. When I auditioned, I was in House.
Yeah.
And you have to, I was in like a bunch of scenes. Most of my audition was most of those scenes. And it was certainly all the important ones.
Oh, right, right.
Because they want to make sure you can do those ones.
They don't need you coming in and say, here you go, here's your chart, and walking away.
Yeah, they want to make sure you can do the hardest parts of what they're going to make you do.
Oh, that's cool.
So you have to go in and do it.
Man, I never audition. Hey, you want to do my sponsors real quick?
Yeah.
Well, which one do you want to go over first?
What are they?
Amazon or Gamefly?
Amazon?
Amazon works. All right.
Okay.
So I told you, I should have told you while we were recording, it would have been easier.
Right.
But yeah, if you go to my website and arishafir.com.
You click on the link.
The Amazon
banner. You go
banner.
To Amazon from Ari's website, and then you buy something, and he gets snaps.
I get snaps?
Don't you?
What are snaps?
Money.
Oh, yeah. Snaps?
You get some bread.
Is that a black term?
Yeah. You get snaps? Some cheddar.
Cheddar, I've heard.
Snaps. My friend used to call it snaps. When he asked for gas money, he'd be like, give me some snaps for the petrol.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I always
like
that.
You know what new black time I heard from Ian Edwards?
Huh? Why are you whispering?
Natural reaction to saying black things, even though it's not even bad.
Yeah. It's a good what point. Is it? Is it going to be good?
He calls people that he knows fam.
He replies to that to me in emails.
Short for family. It's just like cuz.
Yeah, I'm doing an illustration for him, and he replies, fam. I thought it meant more than just person I know, but okay.
No, it's like person I'm close with.
Yeah.
Like you say, cuz, or what's
that
brother?
Well, I'm doing something for him that I think he appreciates.
Yeah. I love it. I'm going
to
use it.
Let me tell you something about the black community. When it comes to coming up with sayings, they're the best at it, hands down. They create verbal culture that then gets it slowly adopted by everyone else.
Yeah. Yiddish had it for a while, but nothing new comes in Yiddish.
No, but Yiddish is some good shit.
Yeah.
Something's a Shonda. You're a mensch.
An embarrassment, a gentleman.
Yeah, I love being called a mensch. When someone Jewish calls me a mensch, I love it.
Do you know what shiksa means?
Yeah. White lady.
It's what?
A goy.
It's a non-Jewish lady. But
do they always have to be blonde?
No. Okay. Shiksa is just not Jewish.
Okay.
But my rabbi in Israel told me not to use that word.
It's insulting.
Yeah, because...
You told me that. Yeah. I called my old manager's wife a shiksa, and you told me that, and I called him and apologized.
But he didn't know.
He didn't care.
Because to them, it's just like, no, non-Jew.
Yeah.
Shiksa comes from the word shekes, which is like any of the like, disgusting, crawly creatures, like a maggot or a worm.
Right.
Those are all
yipes.
That. So you're pretty much saying that about another human, and it's like, relax, they're not as good as
What's
us.
What's the thing? What do you call big. The wig... That the women wear?
Shaitel.
A shaitel. Yeah. And they wear that because if men see their natural hair, they'll be driven to sexual madness?
Women have to cover their hair in public. I think that one, the commandments on them, there's a hearing a woman's voice, Kol Isha.
Oh, okay.
And that commandment is on the men not to hear it, but the women aren't doing anything wrong. If they walk up to you and start singing, they're not doing anything wrong.
Okay.
It's the man is doing something for hearing it.
His job is to like remove himself from the situation.
And they have these big things.
By the way, not a bad rule.
Oh, yeah. And my friends used to say, no way. But they had this thing in Israel.
What's the rule with a woman? Her job is to just not let her hair be seen by men who aren't her husband.
Who aren't her husband or family in public.
In public.
Yeah. So when they go out to synagogue, they usually have little things on their head. A hat.
It's a wig.
Wigs came later.
Oh, okay. Those are good looking. I didn't know their wigs.
It gets weird because there are people like, well, this hair is better than their hair.
Oh,
they're getting real wig hairs.
It's still attractive looking.
And the way they say it is, at least they're not attracted to your hair. They're attracted to something else.
Wow.
It's like, yeah, you're all attracted to you, but it's just your hair and it's not yours.
Right.
But they had this big telethon where the head rabbi in Israel, the head Ashkenazi rabbi was there. They incorporate all of them. And then we're going to have this singing portion where some lady or some band was singing. And he had to just politely stand up and walk out of the telethon until they were done.
Was that the Chabad telethon?
It was in Israel. It was something else.
Okay. You ever watched the Chabad telethon?
I've never watched
it. My friend Max Greenfield, he lived across from the Chabad house.
Yeah.
And West Hollywood or whatever.
Yeah.
He told me his dad came over once and he saw, he was like, a lot of action going on over there.
Like it's hopping tonight?
It just like big decisions are being made over there. Some serious stuff. Chabad's powerful, man.
Really?
Do you know what the Chutzalah is? The security force that's in the neighborhood?
No.
They're like a... It's like...
What's it called?
The Chutzalah.
Okay.
I believe that's what it's called. It's like a private security firm. And it's like, they look like cops. They drive around that neighborhood. And I've always wondered...
Did you protect Jews?
Yeah. Well, I don't think just... Well, it's all Jewish people live in that neighborhood. It's a lot of Orthodox Jews in that neighborhood. And I always wonder, if you live in that neighborhood and you're an Orthodox Jew, do you call the cops first or the Chutzalah?
Depends what you need, I guess.
But I think it's crime related. Man. This isn't just helpful. It's not like Guardian Angels.
This is how the Crown Heights riot started.
Uh-huh.
There was a Jewish ambulance service.
Okay. And they wouldn't...
Somebody hit two people, mm-hmm. a little black girl and a little Jewish boy.
Right.
And they picked up the Jewish boy.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah.
Ugh, come on.
And it just started this riot. It lasted for I don't know how long.
You know, a month ago, the Israeli Minister of Defense said that Israel's a whites-only country.
It's really weird, because there's a ton of fucking black Ethiopian Jews.
Yeah, that's not really a smart thing to say. And by the way, your greatest ally in the world is America, and there's a black president.
Yeah.
So he's not allowed to visit...
No, you can visit. I think the guy was saying he's just some dude. The only people that really matter there.
Defense.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't know anything about who should live there.
He's the Israeli Minister of Defense.
He works for the army.
That's high up, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
He obviously is high up enough for someone to quote him.
I wonder if they told him, like, hey, shut up.
Well, there was a new law. They passed a new law that was like, they're allowed to pick up non Israeli citizens and detain him for 4 years without trial.
Ooh.
It was a rough one.
Wow.
You gotta love the Israelis' moxie. They're just like, we are gonna do this and fuck you. Yeah.
Their police, by the way, joke.
Really?
They're a joke. They're laughable. They're constantly losing prisoners. Lose prisoners in transport, and the army has to come in and refine the prisoners.
How is the army so good and the police is so not good?
They don't worry about the police training too much. I don't know.
Did you tell me that the rule about not being... able to be buried in a Jewish cemetery if you have a tattoo is a fallacy?
Yes.
And that is true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's why. There's no such rule as a Jewish cemetery.
There's no such thing as a Jewish cemetery.
There are Jewish burial procedures.
Mm-hmm.
Where you bury them? What?
Where you have to shovel the dirt on them?
Yeah, there's that.
I did that at a funeral, man. That was intense.
Oh, shoveling dirt on?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
There's something very...
For seven shovels, do something.
There's something very, like, final, like, our friend is gone, like, this person we loved is gone about it, but it was also very intense.
Wow.
It was very hard for me to do. Because, you know, I love the guy.
Yeah.
It's rough. But I liked the way... they went about the funeral.
They do mourning really well.
Yeah.
You're supposed to tear your shirt. You're supposed to stay inside your weddings house for 7 days.
Weddings and funerals, Jewish people nail.
Yeah.
God, Jewish weddings are so much better than non-Jewish weddings.
Really?
The only wedding my two favorite weddings I've been to were Jewish weddings. So much more fun. The chair thing is great.
Chair's great.
It's just...
The stamping.
The rabbis are funnier.
Stomping
They're
on the...
They're way better at giving
because it's not a sanctified moment. It is, but it's just... It's a celebration, and they're just like, yeah, let's be in a good mood.
My manager, who was Jewish that passed away, he renewed his vows. Oh, yeah. He did a surprise vow renewal, and there was like a chuppah and everything. It was so fun.
Yeah.
I had to just take family more seriously, so I think it's a family moment. I think Jewish people
they are good about family stuff.
That's why I almost converted.
Is that your skateboard deck picture?
No, that's by someone else. That was like that's a famous guy. He did that like a benefit...
That's a
thing.
Cool.
Well, some skaters have no health insurance, so whenever one gets injured, they have to have like a benefit to pay the guy's bills.
Comedians.
Yeah, same thing.
This is when I really hit home for me with comedians for that.
That's one of my skate designs. Fold up right there.
That's cool. I want to look at it in a second. I don't want to say that stuff anyway. Where were we?
Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
Why I almost converted.
What?
Why I was saying how I almost converted because I liked the way they went about family and their religion.
Oh, yeah.
Quietly.
Yeah, I don't remember what I was saying.
We were talking about the Chutzalah. We were talking about Israel. We were talking about their police sucking.
Yeah.
The Jewish cemetery tattoos.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Yeah, there's those things in the Jewish cemetery. You just can't. So if they said you can't get buried by Jewish traditions, mm-hmm. that's still wrong. It just comes from a law that you're not supposed to mark up your
Jews
body.
Jews don't believe in hell, right?
We believe in... They believe in purgatory.
Okay.
11 months of purgatory.
And how are these things... It seems like if you're willing to believe in purgatory...
Yeah.
Why... There seems to be not a lot of need for any other rules. Like, oh, this, and this. Like, well, you can fix all this stuff in purgatory, so what's the difference?
This is why they say in heaven...
Other levels?
Yeah, time moves differently. Mm-hmm. So it's either we'll finish soon.
You know what's cool is none of this is real.
None of this what?
All that stuff is fake.
What?
What we're talking about, oh, yeah. The heaven and the hell and the time.
Yeah, yeah.
The cool thing about that is none of it
is cool
on
thing
any
is
level.
It's all made up.
It's complete falsehood.
How do you feel about that stuff? You're not religious at all, huh? Yeah, that's how I am too. What? But they say at one day in heaven is like 1,000 years.
That's the notion that Christians have been using to explain dinosaurs for as long as forever.
Really?
Or like how the Earth are carbon dating. That's how they argue carbon dating.
Time moves differently then.
Yeah, a day can be 1,000 years and 1,000 years can be a day.
And you're like, what kind of proof do you have for that?
It's a verse in the Bible where it says Jesus told his apostles he would come back in their lifetime. So he's 2,000 years late.
Yeah.
But did he lie? Why? Everything that doesn't make sense has to be a test of faith, really?
He would come back in their lifetime, but he clearly didn't.
He clearly didn't.
Oh, he came back the first time?
No. He said he'd come back again the second time within their lifetime.
Oh.
And they all died.
Wait, why do they point to that then? That's not...
They don't, because it messes with their brand.
Yeah. Well, they say, yeah, in the Old Testament, everyone used to live like 1,000 years. I wonder when they wrote that, why they would choose that, because no one was living that long. They were living like 26 years.
I don't know.
Back in those days, people lived longer. 1,000 years?
Yeah, come on, guys. Look.
1,000 months?
It's like how the Catholic Church like finally acknowledged dinosaurs.
Really?
They acknowledged the world wasn't flat and like super late. It's like, either stay that way or like, come on.
I'm done with arguing about something that has no proofs for or against. So you're like, what are we even talking about?
Yeah.
Let's not even talk about it. It's so stupid. There's no proofs. There's no reason to think that.
You're like,
leap of faith. There's no leap of faith.
I'm gonna, like, if you were arguing something else and you had no evidence, you'd be like, why? I'm not even talking to this.
Yeah, exactly. If we were like, yeah, if we're
I'm
talking
I'm not
about,
gonna talk to you about this because you're providing no facts or evidence.
Bears can fly. No, they can't.
So they
can't. Maybe in the woods.
I believe
when you're not
that
there.
They can. Why? Because in my heart, I know it.
Your
heart is dead wrong.
Yeah, in my heart, I know it.
Because quite literally, no bear has ever flown.
How many people have you seen come to the Comedy Store or LA in general and be like, I'm going to be a huge comic. I'm going to make it. You can't stop me. And you're like, 2 months later, they're gone. And you're like, they believed it. Sure. That's what every time I hear about a movie star, is like, I knew I'd be famous. Like, so did 20,000 other people for every one of you.
Yeah. You have to believe that to try.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you less wrong when you fail.
So let's wrap up with this house thing.
Yeah.
So you have this house. It's yours.
It's a double-edged sword.
When something goes wrong, you have to pay for it, though, right?
Yeah. It sucks. It's very stressful. It makes me panicked about money a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's very, you know, my bills are much higher than if I didn't have this. At least twice as much.
Wow.
That's
an issue.
It is very, yeah. Especially because
you have to keep working, especially in our jobs.
Yeah, what I do. It's, you know, it's up in the air. I don't know where my next job is. I don't my next paycheck's coming from. It makes that very stressful. But if I can hang in there long enough, it'll benefit me a lot.
Because you'll have more money.
Well, I'll just have a big safety net. The longer I can keep it, the bigger the safety net goes. Because if the house goes up in value, even small increments, if the shit hits the fan and I go literally broke, I sell it. All the profit will be mine and I will not even be close to broke.
Right. And then you can get an apartment or do whatever.
I will be just. I can do lots of things. I won't.
Also, if you put enough money into the payments, you
can
also just own this.
Yeah.
And then be like, cool, now I have no cost for rent except, you know.
If I made a big chunk of money, I'd pay off my house. I know you're not supposed to do that.
Why?
I don't know. But I would
just
do that.
They say you're supposed to do that because the money you make in investment would be more than the money you lose in interest.
The stock market is this. I believe in it in the same level I believe in a God.
Really?
It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
And by the way, it crashed like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It crashed so unbelievably hard while it was being run by quote unquote the smartest people in the country. They couldn't stop it from ruining the world's economy.
Yeah.
People are too greedy for that not to happen every 20 years.
They had stock picks picked by the experts, like five or six experts.
They were just needing to sell and make a mission.
And just to track it. Yeah. And also stock picks picked by a monkey.
A monkey.
A literal monkey.
A rhesus monkey.
And he was like right in the middle.
Yeah.
The monkey.
It's people are too greedy for the stock market not to crash every 20 years from bad behavior.
Jim Norton was talking about this on Open Anthony one day or something, mm-hmm. where he's like, I lost a quarter of my money last week.
Yeah.
I had all this money saved up for the last 15, 20 years, mm-hmm. and 25% of it is now gone.
The people that really shit on were people like my mom's age, my father's age, who
retirement
had all, this,
stuff.
All their money, their whole life's money.
Yeah.
They lost a third of it, a half.
Yeah.
Those people, it's like they don't have time to make it back.
To redo it.
You're talking guys that were about to retire. They're like, all right, I'm going to die at my desk instead. Fuck that. Because a bunch of greedy pieces of shit, $20 million wasn't enough. They wanted 50.
Sock drawer. Well, then, but you got to do something with it. Were you going to keep it in a bank? You got
to
do something.
These people were already rich. They were just trying to get cartoonishly richer, and they did it at the expense of normal people, school teachers, people that put money into mutual funds because they were told 401ks that got obliterated. So guys that had $20 million could have 40. It's bullshit.
Wow.
They literally ate the middle class and shit them out. I hope they die 1,000 deaths. It's all burn. It's a million Bernie Madoffs. They fucked us. And by the way, they were the ones who got all the stimulus money to. They gave the money back to the people that screwed us to fix it.
Yeah.
It's garbage because they were too powerful. They're the only ones that knew how to fix it, supposedly.
It's
bullshit.
The funny thing is that people all wanted their bonuses and stuff. And everyone's like, bonuses for what? You did a terrible job.
Yeah, but it's written into the contract.
Yeah.
No, fuck that. I'm not a Tea Party guy. They scare the shit out of me.
Some things you gotta like.
The one thing I respect about them is where they're just like, how about this? Burn it down.
Burn what down?
The government. They're like, start over. It's fucked. Break it up and start. I'm like, yeah, man. It's a total mess. So let it fall apart. Let it literally fall apart.
My friend said this.
It's a broken system.
That said the dead cat bounce and the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He said, these ups and downs are part of the economy.
Yeah.
And for you to put stimulus money in there and try to get it back, it's like you're going to make it worse later.
Yeah.
It's supposed to move up and down, and overall the flow will increase.
Well, here's the thing. Economists and stock people love dips in the market because that's when you make the most money.
Uh-huh.
When the market hit the floor, the smart stock people were borrowing money to invest because everything had to go up.
Right, right, right.
So they made a fucking killing.
Right.
The last 3 years, people have made a stock people have made a killing of just things slowly going back up again.
I missed it.
Oh yeah. Oh, guess what? We'll miss it every year. It happens until we're dead. We'll never have the balls to get in. We'll never do it right. We will lead lives of quiet desperation until we die.
Yeah, that's what I say. I have a joke now where I'm like, I'm gonna die in an apartment building. That's my Lord of the Rings story.
Nah,
I might not.
You might die in a. You're gonna die in your own condo. In Studio City.
In Studio City?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Do you worry about what your neighbors are doing? Do you meet your neighbors? Do you friends
with
them?
Yeah, I know my neighbors. My neighbors are cool. The place next door, the guy, it's actually sad. He had to... The place is foreclosing because he ran out of money because his wife was dying. She died and he spent all his money trying to keep her alive. She had cancer. So he just lost his house.
Ugh.
But yeah, that shit matters. My neighbors... When my
house, there's a god.
Well, yeah. Totally, that's fair. Jerry, who was super nice, when my a delivery truck knocked my transformer off my house, it was like a huge explosion, and we didn't have power for a month. Jerry let me use his electricity.
How?
I just plugged an extension cord into the back of his house, and he powered the entire construction crew at my house for 2 months. He didn't even ask for money. We gave him like $300 to cover any extra cost. That guy deserves to have his wife die of cancer. Super nice guy. Father, daughter, what the hell? Yeah, that was a test of his faith. The guy's a devout Christian. What was that? Why does he deserves that? Fuck yourself.
Well, God works in mysterious ways. How come you could say, see, God has a plan for me every time stuff works out?
In mysterious ways? Is he a spy? Is he a magician?
Yeah. It's a sign.
You know about who works in mysterious ways? Criminals.
Yeah.
If you're doing something fantastic, you do it out in the open because you have nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
But my neighbors, when my house was done because it was new, my neighbors were juiced.
Really?
Because it makes the neighborhood
their property
better.
Go up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people drive by, they want to live in the neighborhood, right? With like nice his house is for sale. someone wants to buy his house, they look at my house, they go, that one's cute. That person's trying. That's what you want for your neighbors. You want them to be trying to keep it nice.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why they have those homeowner rules.
Like, some neighborhoods have super mowed. Intense keep your lawn green shit.
Who's that a picture of, by the way?
My dad. Which picture?
The one in the frame.
My dad.
He's got the poppy. Is he Canadian?
He was hiking in Canada.
Oh, okay.
Man loved to hike, apparently.
He loved it. Dude, I went camping this weekend.
That's the woods doesn't agree with me anymore.
Because of that?
Yeah, it's weird. I get a weird feeling when I'm in the forest.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I definitely thought about it because now I know somebody who, you know, something.
Bring a compass.
But we went with a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And when it was warm.
Yeah.
And not a crazy, like, big place.
But at night it gets cold.
Yeah, but there's a thousand different trails that go different ways. There's
those, like, tinfoil blankets. You should have those.
Really?
And a fucking signal flare.
Yeah.
Pack that shit, man.
Pack that shit.
You never know.
But people always shit on people for, like, why do they wander off by themselves? But then you realize, like, yeah, well, you camp out, that's next to everybody.
Yeah.
You got to wander off by yourself.
Yeah. Like, camping in a campground doesn't feel like anything.
No.
The whole point is to get where you can't see any people.
Can't see anyone.
And you're like, holy crap, I'm within nature.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like you're a part of your life.
We,
like,
walked out, me, Madonia, Ryan Mervis, and Matt Egger.
Where'd you guys, camp together?
Yeah. Weird. Four other people, too.
I like that Madonia kid.
You like him?
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Weird.
Good. Willie freaked out. Willie freaked out. We were all taking drugs, too. Taking mushrooms.
Obviously.
It's
a weird place to take drugs.
Well, that's the weird part when you're in the campgrounds. But once you wander away,
yeah,
then you're like, oh, we're out in a
giant
field.
Well, you don't realize
field.
How dark it is. It gets
full moon.
Real okay.
It's really well lit.
But real quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of weird quiet. I love the forest. I love it. It's beautiful. Like, to me, okay.
You just feel weird about going there now?
It just feels weird. Well, especially when it's cold. I don't like being around snow. But like, when I'm alone, I don't believe in like a bearded man god who makes your decisions for you.
Yeah.
But when you're like alone in a beautiful forest and you're like, you realize you and that tree are made of the same shit, you're like, all right.
Well, yeah, there's a communion with nature.
It doesn't mean
you believe in God. And there's no mother nature. It's just
in much the same way like water can turn to ice and then vapor and then back to water. It's like, okay, there's a circular notion to just being a carbon-based thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're all just electrical impulses and carbon. That's what all of us are.
That's for what?
It's all of what all of us are.
Yeah.
Carbon-based organisms. That's where you're like, okay, you know, you make eye contact with a deer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, shit, man, this is badass.
I saw four deer. I was walking away from everybody for a little while.
I don't respect anyone that doesn't want to live in the forest to some degree. If you don't want to check out of like city
that's
living,
great. Once you get away, like,
yeah,
that's when we're on the boat. Get away.
If I don't have, yeah, boat's another same thing. Ocean. If you don't have like a, oh man, I just want to like live in a treehouse. I don't get you as a human. Why do you want to be surrounded by other people's wants? And
I saw
weird,
this. Yeah, I saw this thing on somebody from Vice magazine. Some photographer took acid, went to the dog show, went to the whatever. It was the first time he took acid too,
right?
And he was like, it's weird because I wanted to get away from everybody, but this is New York. And there's nowhere you can be all alone. There's nowhere there where you can be all alone.
Oh, in New York?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what people like.
Yeah. I mean, there's your apartment, but it's really you're still around people.
Yeah.
You're just never alone.
Yeah.
In cities, in general, but it's
I mean,
it's
I've
nice
lived
place
in places
like
where I didn't know anyone. Like, I lived in Vancouver and I didn't have any friends.
Oh, yeah.
And that was weird because I was alone so much. Even though I was around people, I didn't have anyone to hang out with, so I would just walk around the city alone.
And how was that?
It was awful.
Awful?
Well, I'd get
too much alone.
Well, you go 3 days without talking to anybody.
Yeah, that's
so you end up talking
bad.
To waiters and stuff like that just to talk to a human.
1 or 2 days is okay.
Even that, you get a little weird.
Really?
Yeah. You haven't, like, you realize Used you haven't your opened your mouth. You haven't said a word. So then when the first time you talk, you're almost bad at it.
I went through a long period where commercial auditions. Whatever my first line was in the commercial audition would be my first word of the day.
Yeah.
So it'd be like 2 p.m. But then I'd be like, Pringles. Oh, yeah. Pringles.
You have to talk in the car, get the tongue moving.
Like before you answer the phone, do you ever do that? Where you go, you know, you're tired. You go, hello.
I usually make a coughing sound.
Oh, really?
Just get it out, you know? But yeah, you can get weird when you're alone for too long.
Yeah.
Start fucking your hand too hard.
That if I masturbate too much, I feel weird.
Yeah, you can overdo that too.
I'm like, ugh.
Well, yeah, you're just like, what's
balls
wrong
are
with
sticky.
Me?
Yeah.
Like, is this my only entertainment? Go outside. See a movie.
I used to motivate myself when I was writing papers in college.
You get to jerk off at the end?
Every hour.
Yeah. Every hour.
Every hour.
Dear God.
Just keep going.
I've never gotten past 4 in a day.
Seven that day.
That's by the end, it's not even fun.
Yeah, it's not good.
It literally just hurts.
What, do you have any last words about fucking house ownership? I remember who that girl was, by the way.
What girl?
That when Nicole Isha, the voice of a woman. There's a song by Vanessa Paradis.
Paradis. Johnny Depp's wife.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she
not
sang
anymore,
this,
they broke up.
This version of I'm Waiting for the Man.
Oh, really?
And it was so, like, I listened to it on my iPod back then, on my Sony Sport Walkman, with auto reverse. And I'd be like, oh my God, it was so sexual. I was like, oh yeah, I totally get this law now.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
Yeah.
Like, that's someone you want to fuck just by her voice.
There's some, yeah, voice.
Johnny Depp married her.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're broke. They're getting divorced.
Yeah,
they're together
old
a
now.
Long time.
He's got to get someone younger again.
Maybe, I guess.
Everything breaks up.
If you're going to buy, I'll tell you this about buying a house.
Yeah.
If you're going to buy a house,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have 20% to put down, you're fooling yourself.
If you don't have 20% to put down.
Yeah, that's a danger. That's
plus pretty, with whatever left over.
Yeah. You got to I mean, it sucks, but like.
You have to have 20% that you can afford to put down.
I mean, the thing is, living in Los Angeles, it's so much, it's just different because things here are so much more expensive.
Uh-huh.
So, but.
And housing.
Don't be house poor. And
house
also,
poor, that's a term.
Yeah.
People who have no money left
also,
over.
Also, don't attach. I listened to this thing, and this lady was talking about like having to sell your house. She's like, don't. It's not an emotional fail. People say it is, see it as such a failure. It's just a thing. If you have to sell it, sell it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't attach too much like emotional.
My kids were born here.
Satisfaction. Yeah, who cares?
No, they weren't. They were born at the hospital.
I drove by my childhood house the other day, and I was like, I don't give a shit.
Really?
It's the fucking building.
You see it a lot, huh? Oh, is it an apartment?
No, it was a building. But I drove by it. I was like, so?
Wow.
I mean, I remember stuff happening there, but like, okay. It's not, it doesn't make you like more interesting or better or more accomplished to own a home. So don't feel like, don't overextend yourself to have that accomplishment like it's going to make you happier.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. This house has been a ton of stress for me. A ton of stress.
From the start. Yeah, there's no way you would do this again. You don't really
not
need
in the same
dogs
way.
In a house. But you didn't have dogs back then.
No, I didn't. Not in the same
cats.
Way. I mean, it's not like I didn't necessarily. I was
cats?
Unlucky.
What are the cats?
I don't have
the
a
Celia's
cat.
Cats?
Those are Celia's cats.
Oh, okay.
I was just unlucky.
Yeah.
You could say I made a mistake.
Yeah.
I should have, but I wanted.
But it's really not mistakes. It's just
this
like.
This neighborhood, man. I didn't know I could. This neighborhood was more a neighborhood I didn't think I could afford.
Yeah.
So I was excited to live in this neighborhood.
It's a nice neighborhood.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. But I wouldn't buy a house I'd have to tear down. I would have been way better off.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just it doesn't make you better.
Do you feel better than other people?
No.
You don't?
I think when I first bought it, I wanted to, so I was like, I don't know. But like, I don't feel better.
Feel a sense of like, when you see someone in an apartment that you're like,
no.
It's just, you live there.
You know how many people in apartments are way more successful than me? Are way better. It's
30.
Think in the terms of comedians we know.
Oh, yeah.
Or that are comedians that are known.
Dane Cook lived in an apartment till like 2 years ago.
Yeah, they only kicked him. He tried to sue them to stay.
Why? Did they kick him out?
He wanted to live there. Why they kicked him out because his dog shit somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
They
yeah.
just wanted him out. But like, dude, you know how many huge comedians live in apartments that I would kill for their career?
Yeah.
But like, I have this house. Does that make me cooler than them? Not even close. It doesn't. It's a thing that I can say like, oh, I did that, but like, who cares?
It's a bit of a trap, though, right?
Totally.
With everyone telling you, you've got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. It's like, I guess I got to do it, but there's no
reason
to do it.
So then you put your the sort of psychological thing you think you're going to get for it could cause you to make a decision you're not prepared for financially.
Well, here's what I was going to say. Like, I could have taken more vacations or whatever back then, but then it's like. There's a sense of ease that comes with knowing, like, all right, I'm 6 months to a year or whatever, 2 years, I'm good for that.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried every day
about
when's my check
coming. I have, like, 11 months of money now, and that calms me. I don't have to freak out. But, like, I would have 3 years worth of money, and that would make me a calmer person that would probably be a little happier because I'd be less stressed out. Stress makes you unhappy. So if it's going to stress you out, like, do you want to be happy or have a house? That shouldn't even be a relatively hard decision to make. Be happier.
Just do it.
I mean, you and I both went through severe
bouts of depression and had to go to therapy. Yeah. To decide to be happy. Make happiness like a, make being happy a thing, a goal.
You know what Ryan Parsons tells me? He's just like a MMA manager. But he says he does this thing where in the shower every morning, he just says five things out loud that he's thankful for. And he'd be like, you'd be so surprised how much it can bleed over into your life.
Neil tweeted like a couple weeks ago, he goes, meditation is the...
He's big on meditation.
Queerest thing that has helped me an unbelievably huge amount.
Yeah.
I mean, therapy has helped me tons. I couldn't...
How long have you been going to therapy?
6 months.
Can I suck your dick? Okay. Sorry.
I love therapy. I love my therapist. I love going.
Boy or girl?
Girl.
Yeah. I tried a couple girls and then a boy, and a boy worked better for me.
My therapist is awesome. She argues with me, tells me I'm wrong. Like, really? We get into it. But like, someone asked me, what's your... 5-year plan, and I said I'm gonna try to be happy 5 years in a row for the first time in my life.
Wow.
Like, I just all that shit I used to care about is
dumb. He said this, if it was like, you'd just be like, anything you'd be thankful for. It's like, oh, I have a full tank of gas, I don't have to fill up gas today.
When I think about how lucky I am, it's compared to what other people have to
go through. I fucked this hot girl,
it's crazy.
I did whatever.
I get to do stand up in front of people, I get to act as a living,
yeah,
I get to draw stuff for money, get to do skateboard designs. Like, that's intensely lucky.
Yeah.
I'm unbelievably lucky. And if I don't, like, realize that and let it make me happy, I'm an asshole.
I'm probably like you, where I definitely like you. I do stand up for free most of the time.
Yeah.
And I don't mind. I like doing it. I don't like that it's free, but I like it. It's almost free. It's nothing to do with my love of stand up.
Yeah.
So then if you can actually make some money, it's like, oh, even better, I guess.
When I get paid to do art, I'm like, I am beating the system today.
Yeah, because that's what you like doing, right?
Paid to act, paid to tell jokes. When I've gotten like more than a grand for telling jokes, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
This is crazy.
My first time opening for Joe Rogan
was
in Denver. Was that Denver or Boston? I think it was Denver. And such a fun week. Have you ever done that? Mm-hmm. Denver Comedy Works?
No, people swear by it.
Yeah. That's where I tape my album.
Okay.
That you made the cover for.
Bang.
Bang.
Synergy.
At the end of the week, I'm just so happy. And then Wendy, the owner, came in and was like, hey, you want to come to the office and get paid? I was like,
I get paid.
Yeah. And it was like $500 or something great.
Yeah, man.
And I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah. It's great. We're both extremely lucky. And it's like, if I'm going to just walk around miserable, considering how much harder some people have it.
Yeah, it's hard though.
I'm a worthless piece of shit.
It's hard though to tell yourself to be happy.
It's hard to tell yourself. Especially when depression's in. I think you just decide. You just like, I'm going to not.
Well, see, I used to have the control over myself to do that. Or say, I'm going to not be in this bad mood anymore.
Yeah.
But with depression, it was like, I was
totally
unable to talk myself
out
of it.
That's when I realized I needed help, is like stopping being able to make myself not feel completely worthless. I couldn't fix it.
I would always say it like this. Like, it'd be a beautiful 73-degree day in February in L.A., you know. And normally I'd be like, this is awesome. But I'd be like, oh, I got to stop for gas. I hate stopping for gas. It's so annoying. Yeah. It's not that bad, but that's all I could think about, is this annoyance that I have to do.
Yeah. Man.
Instead of just be like, well, I'm filling up my gas in beautiful weather.
What I realize is if I try like 10% harder, 20% harder at everything in life, the yield... It's crazy.
Massive amount, yeah.
Just try to be nicer.
Yeah.
Try to like do something to be a little more caring or nicer to somebody. The yield is shocking.
What do you mean?
Like be more romantic with someone, or like do something sweet, or like go out of your way for someone.
Yeah.
Like do something you didn't have to.
Yeah.
People fucking remember it forever because most people don't do that shit.
Most people don't do it.
Like, yeah, I'll help you. Yeah, I'll say something to this person. Yeah, I'll do this thing for you for free.
You know what I started doing? When I go out of town now for extended periods of time, I'll let Tebow take my car, and I'll let Matt Egger stay at my place.
Yeah.
Because for a while, I was like, no, nobody's touching my thing. But then it's like, let them enjoy it.
What things do you have that are so sanctimonious?
And what's going to happen if you break something?
Then you know dirty David Taylor leaves his house when he's done with it?
This house?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I mean, you know, David's a dirty dude.
Yeah.
But like, you think I'm like, ugh. You know how nice it is that I can have someone watch my dog that my dog likes, so I know it's not going to be stressed out and sad.
Yeah, so it's like, obviously I don't want my place to be dirty, But the pros far outweigh the cons.
By a mile.
And then just don't even think about the cons because you know they're outweighed.
And by the way, you know what happens when you're in a better mood? You're more successful because people like working with people that are in better moods. Yeah. Look at David Taylor.
Now that he's gotten laid and he's happy.
Stop being a jerk.
I love when people ask, like, what changed with that guy? How come he's nice to you? I was like, fucking.
Fucking. He went and 9 years without also fucking. Some and now people he respected were like, you're an asshole and stop it.
Yeah.
And it worked. No one wants to be around a curmudgeon.
Curmudgeon, that's what he was.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, I don't want to be around that.
He still is sometimes. I'm like, if you're gonna make this girl really upset, just let me walk away first. I just don't want to be around it.
Well, and also, like, I'll just be like, let's not do that.
Yeah.
Let's not do that here. Like, no, don't talk to her like that.
There's no need.
Don't even. Like, turn it off.
Yeah, it's fun, though, when you don't like somebody and you see David Taylor nearby, and you're like, hey, Secret Weapon, come here and talk to me for a second. And this girl.
Come over here for a second.
Come here and make this girl cry for the next year.
Use your superpower.
We used to get girls to cry. We were sitting in the Comedy Store patio, and as girls would come by, we would just make fun of them, try to get them upset.
Wow.
We would never make fun of black chicks.
Okay.
We were scared. And
they would have won.
Oh, yeah. But we'd make fun of white girls in a crowd of black chicks.
Wow.
And turn the blacks against the white. That was fun. But we got some girl. But every once in a while, we see like a nice girl. I'm like, hey, you seem fine. But we get some girl so mad she was offering to pay people to beat us up.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, the Comedy Store is a weird place.
The way we got them to talk was we'd say we were gay. Like, can we talk to you? They'd be like, ugh, because we're like 2 a.m. on a Saturday. Yeah. Like, no, we're gay. I just want to talk. And they're like,
we just want to hang out.
You have any dates coming up? Anything to promote? Well, how about your weekly show?
Oh, I do a weekly show in Santa Monica, Neil Brennan and Friends that I host. It's a great show.
At the West Side Eclectic?
West Side Comedy Theater.
Oh, they changed it.
Changed the name.
West Side Comedy Theater
in Santa Monica. It's a great show. Ari did it tonight.
Yeah.
We always get very good lineup. We have good lineup of comics.
It's a great show. And
it's $5.
Neil has laid down the law on who he thinks is good enough to do it.
Neil's approved list, which is tight and talented.
He has an approved list. I like it.
The comics
great
are,
tonight.
Dude, his lineup was killer. Yeah. You, Ian Edwards, Pete Holmes, Ruben Paul, Mario Joyner, for God's sakes. Was it that other dude's name?
Ruben Paul?
Not Ruben Paul. What was his name?
Oh.
Right on my hand. I can't think of it. Kind of a weird name.
What's his name? Al LaBelle.
Al LaBelle? No, yeah. There was another guy, too. Another black guy. The hat. You seem to know him.
Oh, yeah.
Roy L. Watkins? That dude was hilarious?
Yeah.
I mean, because of Neil and who he is, to get good comedians.
Yeah.
It's like $5. That.
$5 show and no drink minimum?
No drink minimum.
But they have a bar there. They have a bar there. It's pretty cheap stuff, actually.
Yeah, it's cheap. That show's a good value, actually.
Sunday?
Sundays.
So all the Westsiders, Sundays.
Yeah. I think I'm there on the 13th.
And you're always doing different material there, too.
New jokes every week.
What's the Comedy Central thing?
I'm doing a showcase there on the 13th or something.
For Comedy Central?
For Comedy Central.
What are they going to put you on?
I don't know what it's for, exactly. It might be for whatever their premium blend is now.
Justin talked to somebody at Comedy Central.
Justin Martindale?
No, my agent, Justin Edbrook. And he was talking about me. And they were like, whoever was there was talking to him. Was like, they were like, you guys have never used him. And he was like, oh, you've never put him on a show, I'm sure. But he's done stand-up. He's had a half hour or whatever. And he goes, no, you've never used him in any way.
Yeah.
And they were like, he doesn't have that or that?
No.
Like, we only gave him, like, premium blend. It's like, no, you didn't give him premium blend. Didn't give him Live at Gotham. And they're like, really? I think some of us just slipped through the cracks, all the Comedy Store people.
Yeah, they don't go there.
No.
But now, I mean, the nice thing is now when I get seen by other people, they're like, you really had it? Okay, well, you know, like.
Really what?
Like, I did a showcase, and they brought me in for a meeting, and they were you're on our radar now, we like you, so I don't know.
They have a cool staff of people there now.
A lot of that's Jordy.
Jordy, yeah.
Jordy has been a big part of like making them aware of guys like you and me that you know they did that didn't we weren't super good.
It ain't all UCB guys. Come on, get out there a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah. Jordy's a comic. He knows all the people
and just a good dude.
Mm-hmm. And he could be like, I don't care if that person's cute. They're not funny.
Yeah,
or they are, or whatever it is.
I mean, I've been at it a long time now, but I do well now. So it's nice when people see me.
It's funny. I'll go to clubs sometimes on the road now, And I've really only been headlining for like a year.
Yeah.
Year and a half. I'm in the La Jolla Comedy Store and little things here or there, but nothing. And I get in, they're like, you're good.
Yeah.
And I was like, who'd you think you were booking? They're like, some new person.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, when people see me, they're like, oh, that guy's good.
Yeah.
So they hadn't seen me, which is my fault they hadn't seen me, but I'm good now.
Yeah.
Which I was talking to Neil about this, like, getting good at stand-up is just about the most satisfying thing in the world.
Getting good at it.
Where you're like, oh, I'm not going to bomb. And if I can fix, I have enough jokes to where I can fix anything.
I'm still really insecure. So if somebody's going up and they're witty before me, or they're doing well before me, I'm like, oh, or they're real physical before me. I'm like, there's literally no way this is going to go well for me.
And then it does.
But then it always does.
Yeah.
Because like, oh yeah, I've been doing this for 13
Mario
years.
Mario Joyner was actually saying that one time he did the show in Santa Monica. And he was like, anybody can follow anybody if you're good. Just go tell your jokes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, a good comic and then a good comic. If you're a good comic, just go tell your jokes.
Yeah.
Just never try to like ride their wave. Just build like, a new wave.
Watching me. Yeah.
Just go up and acknowledge that they were good and then be good.
Somebody Reggie McFadden told me that.
Mm-hmm.
It was right when Charles Fleischer was coming back to the store.
Right.
Were you there before he came back or afterwards or during?
I don't know. He was always there when I was there.
Okay. For like a couple of years, he wasn't there at all. Then he came back nonstop. And he's really hard to follow.
Yeah.
Because he's doing a lot of crowd work.
Yeah.
Really ended with like a harmonica set tying back in all the crowd work.
Yeah.
And he would also, in the original room, he'd turn the lights on.
Yeah.
So he could see everybody. And the lights would go back off after he was
just
done.
More of a thing.
And it was 30 minutes instead of 15. And some of his 30 would be like 50.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like a long, it was hard to follow. So we're talking about who the hardest people to follow was. One was like Mike Marino at a cop convention, you know, like certain places. We asked Reggie McFadden, like, who do you list like to follow? He goes, oh, nobody. I'm like, yeah, I know. Obviously you can follow anybody, but who do you? He goes, I don't concern myself with it at all. All I see it of is as that's my time on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do with it what I want. I don't.
And the crowd probably sees that in them.
Yeah, it's just a confidence. Mooney doesn't worry about who's on after.
I learned that by watching Cap, where he would go on stage after someone like Bobby who killed.
Yeah.
And he would go up on stage, and he wasn't famous. The first 20 seconds were legitimately boring because it was just him going, fuck yeah.
Uh-huh.
How's everybody doing? All right, well. And you could see the crowd be like, oh. And then he would just slowly, he'd tell the first joke that was good. Second joke that was good. And then they would just, by the fourth joke, he was killing.
Yeah. It's funny now. I won't follow Bobby or anybody like that.
Yeah. I learned that by following Ingram, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, for a while, it was me, you, and Renazisi.
We were the only ones that wouldn't refuse to follow Ingram.
I
couldn't, you know, he was doing really energetic, fast crowd work.
Yeah.
So it's like I was going to do that. So I would just, the first 2 minutes of my set were sacrificed.
Yeah.
But then I started them up again and had a good set.
Technical skills.
Just don't look scared and tell your jokes.
Yeah.
If they're good jokes, people will laugh at them. That's the thing, is people are like, it's like you think like you degrade your jokes. Like, oh, because of the way the crowd is, this joke that works all the time will suddenly stop working. Well, if you've written a joke that works all the time,
it'll work well enough
to continue doing well. So just tell it.
Yeah.
Tell it like you mean it. But yeah, imagine the people Mario Joyner's had to follow in his career. It must be crazy. Comedy Cellar people.
Oh, yeah.
Murderer's Row.
Night after night. Well, I realized that at the Comedy Store, too, at some point. I'm like, these are some of the best comics in the world, like every night.
A lot of really good comics on those lineups now.
Yeah. Like these are the A-level headliners now, and it's
these
one after
all
another.
Headliners, and they're coming in, and they're good.
Yeah.
You're on a good lineup. Some people are on the lineup.
Some people. There's obviously a few suckers, but there's that at the Comedy Store, too.
Some of us don't get on the lineup.
Oh, you don't get many spots, huh?
No, not really.
How many spots do you get now?
Maybe one a week, if that.
And opening only, still?
No, I'll get a Saturday at like 10:45, 11. But I don't even get that much lately. I might be done there. It just doesn't seem.
You got to have the thing which you're not willing to do is go yell.
Go yell. I'm not a yeller. All I do is do well on stage and have TV credits, but apparently it's not enough.
So you got the West Side. West Side. What is it called?
West Side Comedy Theater.
West Side Comedy Theater. Your Twitter is Kevin G. Christie. At
Kevin G. Christie.
And Kevin G. What else you got?
I'm on Broken Wrist projects and stuff? No. I'm on a new show called The New Normal. I'm in episode 2. I'm supposed to come back and do some more.
Okay, that's cool.
And supposed to do a movie January.
What about, for what?
It's Dove Davidoff partially is doing it. It's based on him, his kind of life Growing Up in a Junkyard stars Renee Zellweger.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty big.
Play her brother. Yeah.
And you.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going to say? Where's your art stuff? Can I find that online?
I have a website, kevinsayshi.com. My name was taken. My art right now, if this goes out in the next week.
You didn't go straight to that?
Yeah. My art, if this gets edited in the next week.
It will not.
Okay. My art was at a place called Family.
Oh, that place? Oh, really?
Yeah.
But, is there another group show there?
No, it was just all me.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
When is it? How long is it going to be there? I'll go.
It might be up for another few weeks. 2 weeks.
I'll go by there.
Yeah, it's still
I went to buy one of Ashley's pictures over there.
Mm-hmm.
Just like without telling her. Just figure I'd just go get it.
Right.
And the guy was like, just because she had told me what she usually
charges.
Right. Yeah. I think I was like two. And I was like, two? That's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, you're interested? I'm like, fuck yeah. Very interested. He goes, yeah, it's, you know, 2,000's not much for us. Like, oh, 2,000?
2,000.
Oh.
2,000.
Yeah, I don't have that kind
although
of
hers
money.
Are worth it. She's a genius. What?
Yeah.
She's a legit, I mean, she's one of my favorite artists. So good.
Well, it was one of those where it's like, I can buy it from the gallery to help her out, or I can just buy it from her later for half
that's
the price.
Everyone asks me that, like, let me just buy it from you. It's like, well, that's like saying, let me see you do stand up in your house. You need to be part of a gallery apparatus.
Well, it's like you make the money out of it.
Yeah, but you don't but get you don't noticed. Get
a, right.
You're not moving up.
Right.
It's like I could get 5 or 20 people to come to watch me do stand-up in my backyard. It's not going to get me where right. I want to be.
Even though they pay $20 a piece, it's like it's not as good
it's
as
it's like, oh, I made $100.
Does anybody put up their own shows? Like
they do, but it's not. I mean, it's like being your own agent.
But nobody high level does that?
Damien Hirst, instead of having a show, sold all his work at auction because he's so huge he didn't want to share the money. He made like $200 million.
Wow.
Because he was so big. He's like, why am I giving a gallery half?
I can see that. What's his name? Who does the stuff I like? Who's the guy I like?
Do you like a lot?
Did the Michael Jackson statue.
Jeff Koons.
Bubbles, yeah.
He could have done that, but he doesn't.
Yeah, why does he choose not to?
I don't know. Damien Hirst was the first guy to do that. He was kind of the Louis C.K. download model of that. Oh, I could see Jeff Koons doing that.
Doing it now.
Because he is literally that. No. It was like through Christie's. He had like the he had an auction at, you know, through a massive. I'm sure they made money. But
he could have a showing too.
Yeah. I think he did.
And then
he had a showing in the auction. I mean, he covered a skull in diamonds. I think it sold for $25 million.
Jesus.
That dude knows how to make snaps.
Jesus.
Damien Hirst tells everyone to go fuck themselves.
All right. Well, thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
Was there anything else? I guess not, right?
Nope.
You on the road at all?
No. I think I'll be at the Laugh Factory coming up. They've been booking me more. But if you follow me on Twitter, I say where I'm going
to
be.
Yeah. You're a good Twitter person to follow. I tell people to follow people on Twitter, but like you'd be someone they would get enjoyment out of.
I try hard. I want to make the people laugh.
You don't really promote much either, do you?
No, I don't promote at all.
You don't have that much to promote.
Well, also, I don't. I mean, I promote like the day of.
Right.
If I'm in a show, I promote that day. Like, hey, come see me at the Laugh Factory.
I hate having to do it, but I still have to do it.
I mean, I don't. I only do it once. I don't do it like 3 times in a day. Like, hey, last call for this. Like, I did tonight because we had a really sweet lineup.
Yeah.
But like, when I'm at the Laugh Factory or the Comedy Store, I promote that night. I don't overwhelm people with stuff.
I retweet the Comedy Store or the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
For big shows, like my storytelling show, I'll put it out there, or road shows.
I don't think people find that annoying.
I know they do. I know some must. It's like
no, but you're comparing yourself to the people that do it too much.
Yeah.
And you're not doing it too much.
I guess. I feel bad about even like when I have a podcast saying that. But then
no,
I'm like,
people want to
like,
know,
you know,
man.
I'm giving something to
people
for free.
Get bummed. People will sometimes reply at me and be like, bummed. Like, where can I come see you? Why didn't you promote this earlier?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, people, if they like what you're doing, they want to see it. Don't be like that. You're doing well. Own it, Ari. Wear your success like a beautiful blazer.
It's still not fun to be like, I have a show.
Okay.
If you're in Missouri and I'm talking about a show in LA.
Don't put like retweet compliments.
Oh, yeah. Those people are terrible.
But you don't know where your followers are. And those it lets people know you're a professional comedian that's doing stuff.
Sam Tripoli retweets every compliment he gets.
Yeah. If I had like a sweet headlining gig at somewhere cool, like the Stress Factory or whatever it is, I would, you know, be like, hey, come see me here.
I try to work it with a joke in there too.
Yeah, so you put the thing at the end that says, like, there. Come, I'll see, show me your dick.
Well, because it's like I'm at the Stress Factory, that everyone who's not in New Jersey area is just like, this doesn't do anything for us.
Okay, but also if they ever go to New Jersey, guess where they know that there's a comedy club called Stress Factory. And they book my friend Ari Shafir, I think is funny. So I'll see who else they have. It's all synergistic, multi-platform, promotional, Ari.
Yeah,
you're just trying to make people happy on several levels.
I'm just trying to get into it myself and doing stand-up comedy. I don't give a fuck about that.
But like, you're a professional comedian now.
Man, it's so weird.
Don't be... High five. Way to go, man.
Yeah. I started to write that tweet, and then I
stopped. 4 years ago, you didn't think you would be this.
Mm-mm.
And now
I told you I had like 5 shots left. Did I ever tell you that?
Mm-mm.
I was like, I got about 5 shots left here, and then I'm done. And one of them was some audition I just had for something. Another one was like, I forget. I had already taken 2 shots.
Mm-hmm.
And then podcast was like, 3rd shot.
Yeah.
I'm like, once I take 2 more, then I'm out. I'm done.
I was same thing with Max Greenfield. Like,
really? He was
2011 or maybe late 2010. He was going to ask our friend who was an executive producer on Hot in Cleveland if he could get a writer's assistant job.
Wow.
Just to have a job because he had a kid and was freaked out. Now he's nominated for an Emmy for New Girl.
New Girl. He's good on that.
He's great.
Yeah.
And he's making great money. He's doing great.
Yeah.
And, you know, he hung in there and didn't get bitter and just kept trying hard. And that's what happened.
Well, people say, like, if you just stick in, it'll be fine. It's like, it might not be fine, but just stick in anyway.
Okay, if you hang in there and you're good and not an asshole, but you're good, so don't worry about it. Just hang in there.
Yeah.
You've too many people like you for them all to be wrong.
Too many people what?
Like you for all of them to be wrong.
Yeah.
If only 4 people are telling you to hang in there, there's a problem. And 3 of them are in your family.
Yeah.
But if lots of, I mean, you know, people are, you know what it is?
I'm in now.
Lots of people are generally pretty similar.
Yeah.
So if you can, if 20,000 people agree, that's a decent cross section of the world. So it means you just need to get in front of more people. He said to himself as tears streamed down his face. You're going to pay for that song if I sing it?
No, go ahead, sing it.
I don't know the rest of it.
All by myself?
And it started to hurt my throat.
Because you sang so high?
Yeah.
Who sings that?
I have no idea.
All by myself. Don't worry. Is that Sex Pistols?
There's no...
Did they do a version of it?
No.
The Waterbay.
No, that's no. That's a line from Anarchy in the UK.
All by myself?
Because I wanna be anarchy.
Thinking of something else, man.
Do, 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 do.
Really?
I am an antichrist.
That's a good song.
Dude, God Save the Queen's my favorite Sex Pistols song. That's a good
song. Did you see how they played that song the first time?
On that boat?
Yeah.
That wasn't the first time, but they did it during the Queen's Jubilee, which was fucking hot.
They played it on a boat going by when they
weren't. Yeah, but they were supposed to be on the radio, but the signal didn't work or something.
All by Myself, single by Eric Carmen.
Yeah.
Let's see who's remade it. Yeah, God Save the Queen is pretty great.
The riff in the beginning of that song.
Notable covers. Frank Sinatra covered it a year later.
The fascist regime that made you a moron. Such a good song.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. All right.
Give it up for the Sex Pistols. And PIL, for that matter.
Who's PIL?
That was the band Johnny Rotten formed after the Sex Pistols. Very good band. Very good band. Very good songs.
Oh.
John Lydon, he started to call himself.
Oh, Babes in Toyland. That's who did the version of it. Oh,
okay.
Nemesis Sisters. I had that album. Mm. That was like punk rocky.
Okay.
Metal-y. They did a good version of that.
Seems like if you sped that up, it'd be about 80 seconds long. Because he says all by myself so slowly. So if you were just like, all by myself, all by myself, all by myself, song over.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe they add a new verse in.
All by myself, all by myself. I mean, punk version of that could literally be 45 seconds long.
I love punk versions of regular songs, because they are like 2 minutes long instead of 4.5.
Before Eve 6 was Eve 6, there were a punk band called 11-teen.
Really?
And they used to cover La Bamba.
Uh-huh.
Like, sped up really fast, and the crowd turned into a brawl. It was so fun.
Wow.
The kids, we would start running around. It was so, literally got to the point where before he would do it, everyone knew it was coming. He'd be like, all right, everybody, be careful.
A bomba.
And then he'd play the chorus, and it would be pandemonium. It was the best. Because it was just like, and it was so fun.
Wow.
And we kids would just freak out, be jumping off things and beating the hell out of each other. It was great.
Cool. Punk
was,
gets you going.
It's true. Well, it's for white people to let out the rage of hating themselves.
I still remember us going to the Andrew WK concert.
One of the saddest moments ever.
And like, let's go to the mosh
let's
pit.
Let's go to the pit, but these two pussies had to stop, take off our glasses first, yeah. put them in our pockets before we could go into the pit as 30-year-old men and run around like we had a life worth living.
The best was, we didn't even tell each other we should take off our glasses. We both just stopped.
It became a sadness pit. Although Andrew WK broke his leg during that concert and finished.
Really?
Remember he broke, he gave too many people piggyback rides, they took him out in an ambulance. He like stress fractured his shin. Give it up. God. That guy's great.
He's back now playing again.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That record was great.
So good.
I mean, I could rip the head off a kitten.
They had to cover it up because the blood off his mouth, they had to cover it up in record stores.
My friend's an art director, and he talked to like whoever designed it or whatever.
Really?
They used pig's blood, but he kept punching himself in the face trying to get enough real blood to come out of his nose, and he couldn't do it. He just kept punching himself, and he was bleeding, but they were like, it's not enough. We need like a ton of blood. He was like, just let me keep punching myself. Wow. That's the coolest. Then they covered it in pig's blood. I have an autographed copy of that album somewhere. I bought it at Guitar Center. Amoeba, $40 autographed copy of that cover.
Wow.
But it sucks, he signed the plastic. It was, you know, like in the plastic.
What?
It was in the plastic, so the signature's on the plastic.
On the jewel case?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, it was a full LP. 12 by 12 LP, that's where I bought it.
I don't know what that means. Is that a record?
Record. Oh. 12-inch record.
Okay.
So the cover's big. Andrew WK was great. Every song was about partying.
Yeah.
When it's going to the party, we will party hard. And by the way, he played that whole record, he played the instruments himself.
Oh, really?
Hmm? Oh, wow. His band was just like a performance band.
They said, what's he going to add for the second album? What's he going to do differently? Do you remember this?
Mm-mm.
And he goes, we're going to add a second drummer, another guitarist, and some rabble-rousers.
When he got his record, Dave Grohl was being like interviewed about him or something.
Yeah.
And he said he met him, and he'd just gotten his record deal. Up until this point, he was playing in New York. It would just be him singing with a ghetto blaster because he didn't have a band. He recorded the album himself. Wow,
really?
And Dave Grohl was like, well, you got some money for this record deal. What are you going to do with it? He goes, dude, I'm going to get a CD player. It doesn't skip. That was his whole plan, to do with his signing bonus. It was probably $1 million. There was like a bidding war for him when he got signed. They thought that record was going to be huge.
It wasn't, but it should have been.
It wasn't. It was
only big in L.A.
It was big in New York, too, but people couldn't tell if he was joking or not.
Right.
You couldn't sense if he was being ironic or if he really believed in what he was doing, which I thought
it was just like party. It's a party, guys.
I wanted to fucking party.
Yeah, I thought it was
when it's
kind
of a party, we will party hard. Yeah. I mean, that's some shit.
My favorite was dun, 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 dun,
dun. He called the second album The Wolf.
Great. Oh yeah. Wait, we're going to kill, not we're going to kill you. We're not gonna die. Which one was that? It's the fourth and shut.
They're all interchangeable. Yeah. I gotta get that album again. I don't know where it is. Fuck. Peace
all right.
out, Andrew WK.
I think we should wrap this up. Okay, it's a long one.
Four hours.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
Please, everyone, go to. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Bye.
When it's time to party, we will party hard.
Okay, that's it, everybody. Episode 77 in the books. A very, very, very fine house with Mr. Kevin Christie. Thank you, Kevin, for sharing with me. You guys, please don't forget to go to my website, arithegreat.com, where you can get your own Ari for your spice grinder, where you can grind up spices and such. And t-shirts, and also check for all my tour dates. And most importantly, my new CD, Ari Shaffir's... No, wait, that's my podcast. My new CD, Revenge for the Holocaust, is coming out September 25th, the day Yom Kippur starts. So if you have off school, or if you have off work, and you're like, oh, I wonder why, it's because it's time to get my CD, Revenge for the Holocaust, available on iTunes. And if you want, until then, go to arithegreat.com, and I will
there's a thing on the top right, right above the Amazon banner, where I'll give you two free tracks from my new CD. It's actually four, but really only two really solid ones. Like, it's like two and one, whatever. Just go there. I'll send you four tracks. I'll email them to you. Okay, thank you for listening. Bye. But seriously, go there, listen to them. And then when you listen to the CD, when it comes out, Revenge for the Holocaust, September 25th, day of Yom Kippur starts. When you listen to it, fucking help me out and tweet about it and Facebook about it. And when you, if you like it, assuming you like it, fucking tell friends about it. Help me get it out there. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Goodbye. 1 week out, my voice is already completely shot.